Today, Don Deal will give you full details. Meanwhile, back at home, he didn't, for once, he was stay here, Keir. But did he put on his finest display? Prime Minister's questions.
I will not yield, Britain will not yield, on our principles and values about the future of Greenland under threats of tariffs.
And I'll be asking, did he actually play top trumps by not going to Davos? In other news...
Prince Harry fought back tears as he took to the stand against the Daily Mail over allegations of privacy breaches. I'm LBC's Helen Hodnott with the details.
Plus, are veterans betrayed yet again? The vote to remove a law that halts the hounding of troops who served in Ulster. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, President Trump has dropped his threat of tariffs for allies opposing his ambition to take over Greenland. He says he's agreed a framework of a future deal for security in the Arctic region. There are a few details, but both Mr. Trump and the leader of NATO have described talks as very productive. Greenland MP Kuno Fenker has told LBC, it's a relief Mr. Trump has ruled out using military force to seize the country.
It's relieving, of course. I also hope that the people here in Greenland can sleep a little bit easier, more well tonight, regards to those threats that has been unprecedented and unacceptable, of course.
Donald Trump has also claimed that Russia's Vladimir Putin has accepted his invite to join his so-called Board of Peace, but Mr. Putin says he's still studying the invitation and will reply in due course. An investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instructions on how to make chemical weapons. It's emerged Elon Musk's AI chatbot can be prompted to tell users how to make banned substances. The government says it's in direct talks with X to take immediate action to remove the content. Chemical weapons expert Lenny Phillips has told LBC it's incredibly concerning.
What the information from Grok does is take away the mystery of lab work and opens the possibility to those who previously believed they would need access to specific facilities, equipment or chemicals. There is additionally information as to what catches people out, such as quantities of chemicals produced, self-poisoning and smells that could easily be picked up by neighbours.
XAI is yet to respond to LBC for a request for comment. A ban on social media for under-16s has been backed by the House of Lords. Peers supported the cross-party amendment, meaning it'll now have to be considered by MPs. The government has suggested it'll try and overturn it while it carries out its own consultation on a potential ban. And Liz Hurley is expected to give evidence later in the privacy trial against the publisher of the Daily Mail. The Hollywood actress follows Prince Harry, who was cross-examined yesterday. They're among high-profile figures accusing Associated Newspapers of unlawful information gathering, which it strongly denies. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,138. It closed up 11 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather. Cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland later. A high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Addis.
Hey Sainsbury's, have you got anything to help my money go further?
Well, if you want to make some big savings, make sure to use Nectar Prices and your Nectar Prices at Sainsbury's. Together they can save you over £450 a year on your food shop.
Bring it on.
Download the Nectar app and tap into great savings. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us. 18 plus Nectar app required. For full terms, see help.sainsburys.co.uk/help/nectar-prices.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 3 minutes after seven on Thursday, January the 22nd. President Trump plays Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Each citizen in Greenland often $1 million to leave the country, as he says, after conversations with the head of NATO, there is, quotes, the framework of a deal. How secure is that framework, as is often the case, almost played the role as a property developer and pulled off a deal? We'll look at that in more detail. And also I'll be asking later in the show, Sir Keir Starmer was noticeable by his absence as not being a world leader who rocked up to snowy Davos. But actually, did he enhance his reputation with the speech he gave at Prime Minister's Questions? That's for you to decide later in the show. In other news,
a mother of 10 has been found guilty of forcing a teenager with learning difficulties to be her house slave for 25 years. I'm LBC's Thea Rickard with the details.
Speaking earlier this month, Chancellor Rachel Reeves claimed the government is working with the hospitality industry to support them.
We're working with the hospitality sector. I've been very clear that there is a package to come on top of what we've already done for pubs.
But now, save our restaurants, save our bars. Other restaurant owners and other businesses in the hospitality sector say, why just the pubs? It's left a sour taste in the mouth. And in other news,
Thames Water have apologised after homes were left flooded, around 2,000 left with no water and thousands others with low pressure. I'm LBC's Henry Riley in West London.
Plus, the betrayal of our veterans yet again. Labour politicians voting in considerable numbers to subject Northern Ireland veterans to endless persecutions in what's dubbed a sickening betrayal of their service. I'll be asking why.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
President Trump yesterday doing what he does best, making news at home.
President Trump standing before the world and putting it on notice. He's not backing off at all in terms of his ambition to take control of Greenland.
CNN with Wolf Blitzer and away.
Well, let's get back to the breaking news now that Donald Trump says a framework deal has been reached over Greenland, which will have economic consequences and an impact on our markets today.
Donald Trump pflegt das Image des Systemsprengers. In Davos hat sich dafür heute erneut Amerikas Verbündete vorgeknöpft und seinen Anspruch auf Grönland erneuert.
Australia and Germany and, of course, here in the UK.
Hello, a very good evening. 4 minutes past seven on LBC. Another day, another rambling speech from the President of the United States, this time at Davos. He said that he wanted to annex Greenland, but ruled out using military force.
And why? That was Ian Dale, of course, my colleague on LBC. And why? Well, perhaps, or warum, President Trump ist gestern in Davos eingetroffen und hat eine beeindruckende Rede über Grönland gehalten. Was he channeling his inner Basil Fawlty?
Don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right.
Yes, reminding us all that we could be speaking German and even a little bit of Japanese. Let's go through the extraordinary, around 70 minutes, at times rather rambling speech. Mum might have gone to Iceland, and so occasionally did President Trump, for bizarre reasons, when he's actually after Greenland. But here's some of the most newsworthy moments.
And then after the war, which we won, we won it big. Without us, right now, you'd all be speaking German and a little Japanese, perhaps. After the war, we gave Greenland back to Denmark. How stupid were we to do that?
Let's focus a little bit on the idea of force.
We probably won't get anything unless I decide to use excessive strength and force, where we would be, frankly, unstoppable. But I won't do that. Okay? Now everyone's saying, oh, good. That's probably the biggest statement I made, because people thought I would use force. I don't have to use force. I don't want to use force. I won't use force.
Now, at home, he's had problems with ice. It didn't get a lot better in Davos as he mixed Iceland with Greenland.
They're not there for us on Iceland, that I can tell you. I mean, our stock market took the first dip yesterday because of Iceland. So Iceland's already cost us a lot of money. But that dip is peanuts compared to what it's gone up.
And, of course, in a long-winded speech, he did tilt at windmills.
There are windmills all over Europe. There are windmills all over the place. And they are losers. One thing I've noticed is that the more windmills a country has, the more money that country loses and the worse that country is doing.
And no French resistance about Emmanuel Macron.
Came very tough. So when I called up Emmanuel Macron, I watched him yesterday with those beautiful sunglasses. What the hell happened?
And in the snowy climes of Davos, Switzerland, is he daddy cool?
They loved me. They called me daddy, right, last time. A very smart man said, he's our daddy. He's running it. I was like running it. I went from running it to being a terrible human being.
The smart man to whom he refers is NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, who called him daddy last year. And he is the person, Rutte, with whom President Trump says he's now got a framework. But back to business. After his wide-ranging speech, the President did indeed meet with Mark Rutte, as I said, and announced he'd reached a framework for that deal, offering few details. But both he and, interestingly, Mark Rutte described the talks as very productive. President Trump briefly speaking with reporters afterwards.
It's a long-term deal. It's the ultimate long-term deal. And I think it puts everybody in a really good position, especially as it pertains to security and minerals and everything else.
Who knew he could play the piano? But he's bigly on the piano. Bigly on the piano. Right, much to explore. And let's start with the idea. And if you belong to a certain generation, my late father served in the Second World War, my mum did her bit in the Second World War, there was this thought that, but for what they did, but the Americans, we'd all be speaking German. But in reality, let's turn to Saul David, professor, military historian, Sunday Times best-selling author, broadcaster, my favourite historian, it has to be said, who joins me now. Right, it's often been asserted, without Uncle Sam, without the US, you and I would now be probably conversing in German. I can do a little bit, but not a great deal. How real are these claims in your book? Saul, good morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly demeaning on the contribution made to by all the other allies, and there were many of them, actually known as the United Nations during the Second World War itself, Nick. But there is a kernel of truth in what he says. Let's think of some of the statistics, shall we? Before, right at the beginning of the war, interestingly enough, the American military was tiny, the 17th largest army. But from 1940 onwards, when the writing was beginning to be on the wall, it began to build up its military and economic might. Think of this, Nick. In the first year after America entered the war, it outproduced, in economic and military terms, the Axis states combined, twice as many tanks it built, twice as many aircraft, and six times as many artillery pieces. That's just 1942 alone. By the end of the Second World War, American output had doubled, and it was contributing two-thirds of all Allied military equipment, 297,000 aircraft, 193,000 artillery pieces, 86,000 tanks, and 2 million army trucks. So would the rest of the world have won the Second World War against the Axis powers without the United States? Most certainly not. The Soviet Union might have gone down in 1941, 1942. Britain would probably have succumbed at some point. So I'm afraid I have to say, although it's a pretty demeaning comment to make, there is some truth in what Trump says.
What about his historical references to Greenland, how they took Greenland off us? That was a dumb deal. Professor?
Yeah, no, they didn't take Greenland off them. What happened is that America rather sensibly realised the strategic importance of Greenland and the need to keep it out of Axis, chiefly German hands. So if we think of the sequence of events, Nick, 9th of April 1940, Germany invades Denmark. Denmark, of course, was the sovereign keeper of Greenland then, as it is now. And Denmark collapsed in just 6 hours, infamously. I mean, Danes still say today, never again 9 April. So they're pretty shamed by what happened then. And America, understandably, thought, well, we need to get our hands on Greenland. If the Germans get bases there, this could be a real threat to us. So they did a deal effectively to become the protectors of Greenland with the sort of tacit understanding it would be handed back at the end of the war, which indeed it was, and it's still in Danish sovereignty. But there is an important caveat here. First of all, the Americans tried to buy it in 1946 for, they say, about $100 million. That was turned down by the Denmark government. But they did do a deal in 1951 to keep bases there, and they still, of course, have full air base on Greenland. And what I imagine this deal that they've now done with NATO and presumably the Danes too is to increase their security presence there. Possibly there's a minerals deal thrown in. We don't know yet because we haven't heard the details, Nick.
Professor, always enjoy speaking with you. Thank you so much. Saul David, professor, military historian, Sunday Times, best-selling author and broadcaster. Now, we talk of the art of the deal. What of the psychology of the deal? This is effectively, is it not, a New York property developer who goes in and effectively wants to shoot the lights out, throw everyone out of the window, and then will mediate and will do a deal. Well, that's how I look at it, but let's talk to an expert. Ian Robertson is Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Trinity College Dublin, author of The Winner Effect, How Power Affects Your Brain. I would imagine, sir, you and I could talk until 10 o'clock this morning with your views on the psychology of Donald Trump, but if we could slightly sub those views, has power kind of got to him? Do you see effectively a businessman acting as a president? Professor, good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, yeah, Nick. Yes, he is essentially a businessman. He really thinks only about money and possessions, and he is hugely greedy and hugely all he thinks about is getting more and more and more money. And power and money go together with him. All the deals he's made politically have been financial deals as much or even more than political deals. Now, the only thing we've known since ever human beings started working together in groups and tribes, leaders, we need leaders for the tribes, the groups, and gradually until about the 12th or 13th century, they realized that leaders go a bit mad with the power that we give them. And that's because of the effects of power in the brain, which has cocaine-like properties. And it makes people, it has all these effects in the brain. It makes people disinhibited. It makes them, their judgment poor. It makes them make very bad decisions when, like Hitler did and Napoleon. And so gradually human beings invented these things called democracy, the artifacts of democracy, free press, elections, independent judiciary. And these were the external governance constraints, which are the only ways of trying to constrain power. And I think a bit of that was operating yesterday with the internal American pressures on Trump because of the market effects and the other effects of the country. The only other constraints in power are internal constraints in the individual human brain, which are moral, ethical, religious. Donald Trump never grew up with any of these. His father was a fascist. His father said, look, the only principle is it's a zero-sum game, and power is right.
Yeah, strength is all. Yeah.
If you're not a winner, you're a loser. And that's why Trump said, I like winning. That's what he said a couple of weeks ago. And he wants to win. And Mark Rutte and maybe Keir Starmer have given him a win, hopefully. He's now got property on Greenland. They're maybe going to do a Cyprus-like sovereign territory for bits of Greenland for bases. And now he can say, I've got a win. I've done Venezuela. I've done this. I've stopped 8 wars. But he won't stop there. He'll need more. There'll be something else next. Who knows? Cuba, Colombia, God help us. Britain.
Well,
he will want more. He will want more.
Let's hope it's not the United Kingdom or indeed Ireland. Great speaking with you. I had to leave there to get to the headlines. Ian Robertson, thank you. You're Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Trinity College in Dublin. You wrote The Winner Effect, How Power Affects Your Brain. So much to discuss. Daddy went to Iceland, or he went to Greenland, and he would appear to have got Greenland. He's paying $1 million a head, it would appear, framework of the deal. But actually, by Sir Keir Starmer, was it his finest hour by not attending? So much, as I say, to discuss. And also, after the news,
Prince Harry fought back tears as he took to the stand against the Daily Mail over allegations of privacy breaches. I'm LBC's Helen Hodnott with the details.
Let's get the 7:15 LBC News headlines now, though. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has dropped his threat of tariffs for allies opposing his ambition to take over Greenland. An investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instructions on how to make chemical weapons. And a ban on social media for under-16s has been backed by the House of Lords. LBC weather. Cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland later. A high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Not looking good at all on the M25 clockwise. It is slow pretty much all the way from junction 7 at the M23 to 11 at Chertsey. Now, earlier on, a lorry broke down near junction 9 at Leatherhead. That's just been recovered, but there's also been an accident at junction 11, so that whole stretch is hardly moving at all. Very busy on the A13 westbound to the Lakeside turnoff. A lorry's broken down and 2 lanes are closed for recovery. On the trains, Thameslink services are delayed by about 15 minutes between St Pancras and Luton, and that's because a train broke down earlier. And on the underground, better news for the Metropolitan line, those delays have cleared, but Covent Garden station is closed.
This is LBC.
Our Queen Nana and her iron strong will. Request list as long as her arm for a funeral. Luckily, a co-op funeral care appointment, a chat, a bit of structure, turned 1,000 royal requests into one brilliant way to honour Nana.
If it's hard to know where to start, we're here to help every step of the way. However you choose to say goodbye, we help you own it. Co-op. Owned by you. right by you. Search Co-op Funeral Care for your nearest funeral home.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Okay, done. Move that. And, oh, new ways to invest.
Okay.
Foolproof guaranteed returns. Invest today.
All right, I think I will.
Way before you seal the deal, check if it's real and if a company's authorised by the FCA.
Oh, thanks.
Search FCA Firm Checker.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
To be or not to be.
Right now we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Check your retirement savings are on track with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
7:21, so much to react to with what we saw. Around 70 minutes, at times a rather rambling, and it has to be said, wholly inaccurate speech from President Trump, in which he said, I'd be speaking to you now in German, with perhaps a bit of a Japanese, but for the United States. Let's come to, I did earlier, the television coverage, both home and away. Let's start with the headline, back at home for Donald Trump, the New York Post. Remember, I might have asked, is it a Don deal, as in Donald Trump? New York Post, it's simply two words, Dane deal, and there is a picture of President Trump wearing a Viking helmet complete with horns. Now, I would normally say that is a mock-up, that picture, but with Donald Trump, you can never be quite sure. He might well have boarded Air Force One dressed as a Viking invader. But there he is on the front page of that New York paper. Here in the UK, the headlines that you are waking up to, or some of you going home and getting some kip to. Daily Mail, I've stuck a deal for my big, beautiful piece of ice. The Daily Telegraph, Trump strikes Greenland deal. There's The Guardian, Trump claims that framework of future deal on Greenland is agreed. So, possibly important that we say that it is a framework at this time. One other story from a front page, something we're going to be discussing with a senior member of the Conservative Party. The Daily Express, our struggling pubs will face years of tax rises. Also the element, of course, that understandably restaurateurs or restaurant owners, cafe owners, bar owners, others in the hospitality trade are saying, well, cheers for the help to the pubs, but what about us in our restaurants, bars, cafes and other places? Something we will look at later in the show. Quickly to the LBC app. Trump backs down and drops tariff threat after framework of deal. There we are, talking about that framework again. And I would say let's keep one other story at random, but there's nothing else to... Oh, here we go. The Sun newspaper telling us that Prulith, if this is important to you, Prulith is to leave Bake Off to be replaced by Nigella Lawson, who the Sun says is a shoe-in, as in shoe, you know, shoe pastry, C-H-O-U. She's a shoe-in, says the Sun. So there we go, if that's a paper, a show that interests you. Right, let's talk about what President Trump has or has not achieved. Ian in Cleethorpes, thanks for calling in. How do you interpret yesterday's 70 Minutes? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on. It's nice to talk to you.
Good to have you on, buddy.
Listen, I've listened to Donald Trump, and I've been to America a lot over the years. I've spent a lot of time in America.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of American friends, and not one of them likes Trump. They've all got not a good word to say about him. But, you know, on this thing where everything's got to be a deal with him, hasn't it?
Yes,
There's no human element to any of this.
Yeah.
And it's all about, like your professor said who was on it, it's about win, 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 power, power, power. Now, does this guy not think that Britain played any part in the Second World War? And, you know, they only came into it. If Pearl Harbor had never got bombed, would they have even bothered? They'd have never jumped in, would they? They wouldn't have done anything.
And I refer you to the historian who preceded the professor, who says that there is a very valid argument with the sheer weight of munitions the United States were pumping out that... Yeah. I'm not saying we'd all be speaking in German, because it's fair to say, the last time I was in Berlin, they're not speaking English, and the last time I was in Rome, they're not speaking
Absolutely.
English. So, you know, I think you're allowed to keep your language, but I think we probably wouldn't have got where we got without the US's... It's not an unfair assertion, you know, Ian?
No, I agree with you. It's not an unfair assertion, but... And I mean, I know that Churchill went over there, and Roosevelt was doing some... negotiations to get supplies off him for trucks and armaments and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But, you know, Trump, for somebody who's had such a wealth of education, why does he come across as being such a stupid and dumb person?
But I don't think... Listen, you see, Ian, I just want to explore that with you briefly. I don't... I mean, is he bombastic? Yes. Is he crude? Yes. Is he rude? Yes. But... He's not stupid. Look what he's achieved. He's possibly on the verge of doing a deal that will give him some kind of legitimate, as I think one of my contributors says, maybe a Cyprus-style deal for Greenland. Now, I would say, Ian, in a world now where you have dictators like Putin, President Xi, Kim Jong-un and all the others, just doing what the United Kingdom does, which is continually referring to international law, isn't going to cut it. So I'm not saying Trump is a genius. He does a lot of things that are odious. But here, he will probably have a partial victory, which would never be achieved by Starmer, Macron, Maloney, Ursula von der Leyen, or any of the rest.
Absolutely. Well, I do agree with you on some of that point. It's just the manner in which he does it all and the way he goes about it.
But here's the question. Do the results justify the behaviour? That is to say, if you and I, let's say you and I, don't know, I'm going to assume you're running, you like soccer. You and I are running a football team, and we run a really tough dressing room, and we make those players work and train and train, but we keep getting promotion. Does it justify it?
Well, yeah, I guess it does. But, you know, it's just about, I guess it's about the way he goes about it and the type of person that he is.
Yep. Ian, I don't disagree. Thank you for getting us started. Have yourself a good day. I want to make it absolutely plain. I do not support in any way, shape or form everything Trump does. His mocking of a disabled reporter was just absolutely vile. Not least as someone who had a brother who had some disabilities anyway. I found that totally and utterly distasteful. Some of the language he deploys. I didn't particularly like him shouting at President Zelensky, but he's old enough and ugly enough to look after himself. But he does appear to have the framework of a deal. And honestly, do you really think Keir Starmer, Emmanuel Macron, any of those would have done it? In a world where you have these dangerous big beasts, I go again, Putin, President Xi, just sitting there reading international treaties is not going to cut it. To other news, and to Court 76, I think it is, in the High Court, Prince Harry saying, I was forced to build working relationships with reporters. No one's told me about that. But let's go to one reporter I do know, LBC's Helen Hodnott, who was in the High Court yesterday and reports now. Morning, Helen.
Morning, Nick. Yes, I was in Court 76, quite a utilitarian-looking court. The hearing was emotional, at times quite tense, as we watched Prince Harry try to settle his score with the British tabloids, in this case, the Daily Mail, as a reminder of how personal this fight is for him. Here are his words from a documentary last year.
The press themselves have incited so much hatred towards myself, my wife, and even our children. That's hard to forgive.
So yesterday he was called to give evidence in this 9-week trial, and it culminated in Prince Harry on the verge of tears in the stands, saying that this case has been a horrible experience and that by not admitting fault, the Daily Mail has made his wife's life a misery. At the heart of his case are 14 articles that were published by the Mail in the early 2000s, which included extremely intimate details about his love life, plans and feelings, which he insists could only have been obtained through unlawful information gathering tactics. The publishers of the Mail, Associated Newspapers Limited, are accused of hiring private investigators to use methods like phone hacking and blagging, a so-called dark art, which involves pretending to be someone else to get things like bank and medical records. The Daily Mail denies the allegations, calling them preposterous and accusing Prince Harry, along with the other claimants like Liz Hurley and Sir Elton John, of clutching at straws. But central to this case will be the paper trying to have to explain in court exactly how its journalists got the information that went to print.
In his questioning, the lawyer for the paper, Anthony White KC, suggested the journalist got details from the prince's own friends, painting a cozy picture of the journalists attending the same polo matches, nightclubs and bars as Harry and his group, suggesting they were the leak. Harry denied his friends were loose-lipped around any known reporters. Finishing his evidence, Prince Harry told the court his life had been open season to be commercialised, that it has been since he was a teenager, with every aspect of his personal life delved into, saying that having to sit in court and have the paper claim he doesn't have a right to privacy is disgusting. So that is Harry's testimony done. It was emotional. It was sometimes tense as he argued with the defence lawyer. You could tell how palpably personal this was for him. And over the next couple of months, other high-profile claimants will be taking to the stand, those well-known celebrities and also the former editor of the Daily Mail, Paul Dacre.
Helen, LBC's Helen Hoddernott reporting. Let's just get a couple of mentions on social media here about our conversation concerning Donald Trump. Andrew in Derbyshire, you are a plastic patriot, Ferrari. We need an international rules-based system. Trump has broken it. Oh, dear me, Mr. Andrew, please, sir. An international... Well, why don't you tell that to Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, President Xi, because they're really going for that internet. The game has changed, Andrew. The game has changed. That doesn't mean that you behave like President Xi, but it also means you can't just continually talk about international law because your other parties aren't. Vivian says, Starmer didn't go to Davos over Westminster because he was frightened of being humiliated by Trump. Even though he wasn't there, Trump still humiliated Britain by saying how stupid it was for countries who bought windmills from China and had North Sea oil and also mass immigration. More calls coming in on that. AOU will be the next caller. And we come back home with stories after the news.
Thames Water have apologised after homes were left flooded, around 2,000 left with no water and thousands others with low pressure. I'm LBC's Henry Riley in West London.
And do you remember the tragedy of Mike Lynch's doomed Bayesian superyacht that was sunk in a freak storm in August 2024, in which he died, one of his daughters died, his wife or widow survived with a door, five others were killed. Well, now his widow is being sued for £400 million. But why? You'll find out in our business report. 7:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. Let's get the news headlines. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has dropped his threat of tariffs for NATO allies opposing his ambition to take over Greenland. He says he's agreed a framework of a future deal for security in the Arctic region. An investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instruction on how to make chemical weapons. It's emerged Elon Musk's AI chatbot can be prompted to tell users how to make banned substances. And the House of Lords has voted in favour of banning under-16s from using social media. The government has signalled, though, it'll try and overturn the amendment in the Commons while it carries out its own consultation. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many, some heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
Is Trump serious about wanting Greenland, or Iceland, as he now keeps calling it by mistake?
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maiklis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
There's so much more to enjoy when you fly in Emirates Economy. Spacious legroom, delicious regionally inspired meals, complimentary drinks, and with the latest movies, TV shows, music and live sport, some of the best entertainment in the skies. And our family services make your journey simple and fun. Plan your next trip and start the holiday early in Emirates Economy. Fly Emirates, fly better.
In 10 metres, take a left at the pile of washing.
Sorry, what?
At the Valley of Toy Dinosaurs, approach the kitchen with no room to cook.
Huh?
Turn right at the floor drove.
A floor drove?
You've reached chaos. Recalculating.
No,
suggest immediate course correction to IKEA for fitted wardrobes, children's storage and cupboard organisers.
Find your way back to calm. Discover smart storage at IKEA Croydon now. IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
Craig's never shown an interest in beekeeping before. But that's the sound of him buying 2,000 worker bees rather than doing his self-assessment. Craig, you live in a sixth-floor flat. The deadline is 31st of January. Less distraction, more action.
Don't be like Craig. Visit gov.uk/self-assessment today. Payment support may be available.
The McDonald's secret menu is now official, featuring the surprisingly tasty surf and turf, the weirdly good chicken cheeseburger, and a classified pot of Big Mac sauce. It will be removed on the 2nd of February. Enjoy while you can. From 11 a.m, serving times apply. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability until the 2nd of February.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34 is the time. Come back, as I say, AO, you'll be the next caller of what we heard and indeed witness from Donald Trump. But let's turn to Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM. And it often falls to you, Christian, to both give us some latest figures that have broken within the last half an hour or so, give us the figures and interpret them, and we'll ask you to do both again. What are the figures you're discussing now? Morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, it's the latest public sector finance figures have been released. I suppose the headline is that public sector net borrowing in December was £11.6 billion. That's a little less than what analysts had been expecting, and it was well below previous December's total of £18 billion, when the government really was going hell for leather on the credit card. So the headline there, I suppose, is that public finances seem to have improved somewhat. But if you look below the headline numbers, you're still in a situation where the government has borrowed £140 billion across the financial year. And one of the reasons why they've borrowed less in December than previously is because of an increase in tax receipts. And there's been an increase in tax receipts because taxes have been increased. So there's been a splurge coming into the Treasury coffers from inheritance tax and from PAYE and income tax. And of course, that's set to go on because you'll have new fiscal drag, people being dragged into higher tax bands come this April. So if there is an improvement here on paper, it's largely because the government has been putting up taxes so much. I suppose my personal view on this is that borrowing that amount of money, 140 odd billion pounds a year, to increase state expenditure again and again and again through higher and higher taxes, does not really point to an improvement in anything. Economic analysts this morning are pointing out that in order to meet the OBR's 25-26 forecast, then borrowing will need to be £13 billion lower in the last 3 months of this financial year than last year. And there's a big question mark over whether that happens. And finally, the note of warning from some economists in my inbox this morning is that this is all still quite precarious, and that if political pressure from Labour backbenchers mean that they have to find more and more to spend on certain projects, then that's going to weaken the fiscal situation. And if there was a change in party leadership, that's going to throw big questions up in the air again as well.
All right, let's go to the upmarket shoe store, Russell and Bromley. Have they been pulled up by their bootstraps?
Well, Russell and Bromley, which I think is owned by the sort of fifth generation of the Bromley family, but it's been going through a torrid time, and it has now been sold through what's known a pre-pack administration. That's where the company goes into administration, and then 1 minute later it's acquired by arrangement, and in this time it's been acquired by Next, the retailer that we often talk about. It's not quite a full-blown rescue package, though. It probably will lead to the closure of about 30 of Russell and Bromley's stores and over 400 jobs at risk. So Next is going to be interested in bringing in the stock, maybe the brand, for a time, and some of the digital infrastructure to pull into its main retail operation. But they will keep some stores in Chelsea and Mayfair and in a couple of shopping centres. But it's a sad turn of events for the family-owned Russell and Bromley. Some of it will be picked over and rescued by that retail giant Next.
Take you back to those horrific events of a freak storm in August 2024, which took the life of Mike Lynch, of course, the businessman and one of his daughters, but now his widow could be in court. Why?
Well, indeed, this is because his widow now is the registered legal owner of the super yacht, and indeed the holding company that owned the super yacht in question. And the Italian Sea Group, the builder of that super yacht, has filed a £400 million claim in a court in Sicily, alleging that the crew were responsible for its sinking. Now, this is contrary to some initial investigations that have raised questions about the design and stability of the yacht, and it's certainly contrary to the position of the Lynch estate, who are very clear that there were some major design flaws. But the owner has said that the owner of the company has said that he's lost hundreds of millions of pounds because of the reputational damage to his super yacht firm, and he said that his yacht was unsinkable and that it was crew error and a lack of understanding of protocol that led to the tragedy. So it obviously, you know, feels deeply insensitive that a widow who has lost so much is now going to be faced with this. But the company in question say they have no choice. Mm. So that's going to be a controversial and interesting case that we will have to keep an eye on.
A widow and a grieving mother. I think you're right there. OK, lastly, we're about to go back to my listeners' assessments of what was done in Greenland. I'm asking, is it a done deal? What's City AM's interpretation?
Well, it's a question. It's a big question as to whether this was the arse of the deal or the arse of the U-turn. Now, I'll take my lead on this from a very smart columnist of ours at City AM called Michael Martins, who used to work at the US Embassy in London as an economic analyst. And he wrote a column for us at the beginning of this week saying, everyone calm down. Trump is not going to seize Greenland. There will be no military force. This is what he does. He starts with the most outrageous demand and he works backwards until he gets what he wants. Now, has that been the case? Is that what happened? Or did Trump himself consider that actually under pressure from US Republicans, growing pressure from financial markets in the US who didn't like the direction of this debate, that he has decided now is the time to get what he can? And it seems what he's got is something that was always available to an American administration, which is this sort of enhanced footprints and operational infrastructure on Greenland. Now, Trump will champion this as an extraordinary deal and a success for America, of course. And it might be that European leaders, for the sake of playing nice, go along with it and say, yes, gosh, what a clever man, he's got what he wanted. But it's certainly not the full-blown acquisition, it would appear. Nevertheless, it has certainly calmed markets, who, as I said, were beginning to get a little choppy on the back of all this controversy. US markets are up, and they were up last night when this news emerged. We expect the FTSE and the European markets today to recover as well as the Asian markets did overnight.
Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, noting you're wearing a shirt and tie. Good luck in court. I know you never did it. I absolutely believe in your innocence. And we'll come back to that discussion now concerning President Trump. Mick in Newcastle, I agree regarding Trump on orthodox methods, but if he and the US don't protect the Arctic, we're looking at the lights going out. Mick, you're right. We've had too much defence for too cheap for too long. Kevin, are you praising Donald Trump for ignoring international law like a fascist? Surely someone like you doesn't support fascism, do you? No, Kevin, respectfully, sir, I don't think you're listening. Unorthodox means, which are being employed by other world leaders, means you cannot just live solely to the normal doctrine. Also, that doesn't mean you go and invade Greenland. But to echo what Christian's just said, or Christian's columnist, Michael Martin said, I'm sorry, Mr. Martin said, he goes for this enormous deal, probably knowing that he'll back down somewhere halfway down the ladder. And that is the way it is. If you honestly think, Kevin and others, if you honestly think, confronted by people, I'll name them again, like Putin and the Ayatollah in Iran, if you honestly think dealing with people like that through international rules and law and order, you're mad. We have to employ a different way. Io in Romford, your take on yesterday. Io, good morning.
Nick, I'm so glad I got through to you because you're getting on my nerves this morning, Nick.
Oh, good. That's what I'm here
and
to
I
do.
Could get through and I could actually talk to you directly. Nick, you're talking absolutely nonsense.
Tell me
right?
Why, sir.
Because Donald Trump hasn't achieved anything. You are on the radio going on like, oh, basically, you know, this guy is such a genius. He went
through No. I've never said the word genius.
That's the way.
Well, no, I. He is a modern day leader. Yes, he is. He will get half of what he wants.
Yeah, but he didn't get any of what he wants in this occasion, right? What he wanted was to take over Greenland. What he wanted was to acquire Greenland. He said it over and over again.
No, he didn't.
We cannot protect.
He knew he was never going to get Greenland. You don't understand the psyche of the man. No, let me finish, Io. No, because you've been fairly disobliging about me. You don't understand the psyche of the man. He knew he was never going to invade Greenland, but that is the way he plays poker. That's the reality.
Well, in the end, Nick, he hasn't achieved anything. What he's done is he's come out of that meeting saying, oh, you know, we've got a great deal forever. Actually, what's happened, mate, is you've been told, get off, you can't do that. You've been told, within America.
No, he's not. Even Mark Rutte says there is the framework of a deal. He will get more military bases in Greenland, which, by the way, he probably would have had anyway. But he will portray it to his base in the US as a hit, and they will.
Yeah, he'll portray it as a hit, but it's not a hit.
His supporters, his supporters will buy it. And that is what obviously matters to a politician. His supporters.
Because they're sick.
That's a little bit rude of 77.6 million people who voted for him in that November, I think.
Do you know what? It's about time some people actually just call it out and say, it's a bit thing about November. We can see this guy is an absolute maniac. He's an idiot. People are still supporting him.
Okay, you just keep saying he's an idiot, by the way. And I'm not suggesting that he would win Mastermind here in the United Kingdom for a moment. But just to denounce him as an idiot is rather narrow-minded and puerile. You have to be alive to what he does and how he prosecutes his arguments. I have enjoyed our conversation. I must move because we're coming back to events at home and water rarely out of the headlines and yet more problems. Henry Riley, LBC's reporter, is in Holland Park in West London. Henry.
Nick, good morning. This normally quiet cul-de-sac of Lawn Gardens has been turned into a lake. In the early hours of yesterday, this began flooding due to a burst 30-inch water main at the Holland Park roundabout, which is right by Shepherd's Bush station in West London. Now, Thames Water have profusely apologised to the 27 homes that have been completely flooded. They're staying at nearby hotels. 2,000 left without water and thousands of others who've been left with low water pressure, not least businesses affected as well, all of which are in the Holland Park, Kensington, Notting Hill and Shepherd's Bush areas. Johnny Thalassites is a councillor for Holland on Kensington and Chelsea Council. He's been helping residents and I spoke with him earlier.
I think the damage is incredibly serious to people's homes and we're working with residents and Peabody as the landlord to make sure that they're set up in alternative accommodation and get the support that they need. We're also asking Thames Water to urgently act to mitigate flood risk in the area. There was a flood in 2021 on the same street and several before that over the past 20 or 30 years. So we know it's a big problem and we need Thames Water to act.
Now, Thames Water say that around 600 litres of water a second were gushing out of the burst pipe, which is on higher grounds. There were around 40 firefighters deployed in the early hours of yesterday, and they used an inflatable rescue boat to evacuate nearby homes. Dawn is now staying at a hotel paid for by the council.
About 1:15 a.m, just heard a load of noise outside, and then I got a call from my neighbour, and the water was just gushing down here like it was like a fast river.
Nick, Thames Water have said it might take days to repair this broken pipe and customers may continue to experience low pressure or no water.
LBC's Henry Riley reporting. 7:46 is the time. We'll come back to our conversation concerning Donald Trump, but look at it in a different way. Sir Keir Starmer, notable by his absence, by not going to Davos, but actually did he play top trumps with a fairly stirring speech at Prime Minister's Questions? Arguably, you could say, to keep the war analogy going, his finest hour? We'll look at that in the next hour. The 7:45 LBC News headlines now, though. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has cancelled his threat of tariffs for allies opposing his plan to take over Greenland. An investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instruction on how to make chemical weapons. And a ban on social media for under-16s has been backed by the House of Lords. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M25 clockwise all the way from Junction 6 at Godstone to 11 at Chertsey. It's because a lorry broke down earlier and there's also an accident earlier as well. Everything's open, but there are still delays pretty much on that entire stretch. Also on the M25, there are queues anti-clockwise from Junction 21 at the M1 to 19 at Watford because a lorry has broken down and two lanes are closed. Very busy still on the A13 westbound to the Lakeside turn-off because a lorry's broken down and two lanes are closed for recovery. On the underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo line and on the trains. Great Northern services aren't running between Finsbury Park and Moorgate, southbound, and Thameslink are suspended from London Bridge to Dartford.
This is LBC.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling and smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go in a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months.
The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Go on. Leave the never-ending laundry pile, quiet flat, and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues, with our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website and pay no booking fees. So, go on. Go in.
Southeastern.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Chase is the digital bank you can count on.
How so?
Because you get 1% cash back on your grocery shop.
Like on prosciutto?
Yeah, prosciutto.
And seaweed crackers?
Sure, those two.
Oh, hang on, what about rotisserie chickens?
If it's in your grocery shop, Chase has got your cash back. Join today and get 1% cash back on debit card spending on groceries, fuel and everyday transport. Chase, see what your money can do. 18 plus UK residents eligibility applies. 1% cash back for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Exceptions apply.
Hannah entered the Omaze Million Pound House draw and won a £4 million house.
House, an actual house!
Paul won a house too.
That's insane.
Now you could be next. When you enter by this Sunday at omaze.co.uk, because one person is guaranteed to win a £5 million house in London with all the furniture and £250,000 just to help you settle in. Roger recently opened the door to a brand new future.
Is this a dream?
And this time, it could be you.
And here's the best part. You'll be supporting Alzheimer's Society.
So for your chance to win a luxury house in London worth £5 million, you must enter by this Sunday at omaze.co.uk. Over 18s only, no purchase necessary, conditions apply. £1 million charity donation.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 9 minutes before eight. Probably healthy to come away from matters concerning Switzerland and the United States and Greenland, or possibly even Iceland, and come to events here in the UK and the idea that money will be invested in cultural organisations over a five-year period. The government says it will turn the corner on underfunding. Let's get more details now from Labour MP, Minister for Creative Industries, Media and the Arts, Ian Murray, who joins me now. Minister, how much money are we talking about and where will it go? Good morning.
Very good morning to you, Nick. Yes, this is a £1.5 billion investment over the course of this Parliament. It's £1.2 billion of new money, and that will go into infrastructure for our museums, for our heritage organisations, for libraries, and really to try and get our capital funding into these kind of infrastructure projects right across the country up to scratch. It's the biggest investment in over a decade into arts and culture and being very much welcomed by the sector.
What will it provide for them? When you say it will go into libraries, it's not buying more books, is it? Reopening libraries or restoring libraries, what exactly is it?
Yeah, Libraries Improvement Fund, there's £30 million almost going into that to support library upgrades, their buildings and technology to better serve the communities that they're in. Nearly half a billion pounds going into the Creative Foundations Fund to revitalise arts and culture buildings right across England. £600 million into our national museums like the British Library, the British Film Institute. So it's a really big investment into the fabric of our arts and culture infrastructure right across the country.
You're saying £1.2 billion. I have a note here of £1.5 billion, whichever the figure might be. It's a vast amount of money. I don't need to tell you there are financial pressures right across the country at the moment and across the economy. Why is this deemed worth spending at this time?
Yeah, just for clarity, it's £1.5 billion across the course of this Parliament, but £1.2 billion of it is brand new money from today.
£300 million has been spent already. But if you take my point, you don't need reminding, I'm sure, that there are pressures on just about every budget within government. Is this the right time to spend this amount of money, Minister?
Well, absolutely right, because our investment in our cultural sectors has been pretty deplorable over the last 15 years. And what we need to do is make sure that those kinds of cultural organisations that are providing access to the arts and culture right across the country are improved and are viable for the future. And that means our major museums that are big attractors for tourism, big attractors for cultural exhibitions that drive some of that economic growth as part of our creative industries is key. And if you look at our creative industry sector plan, which is one of our key industrial strategies, that is about driving that growth through that sector. And this is all part of that plan.
And how will my listeners, how will your voters, how will they notice the difference? What will they see?
Well, I hope they'll see that their cultural institutions are infrastructurally better. I hope they'll see that opening hours are better, that access is better. And what we're saying with this money is this isn't just a handout from government. The deal is here that you reach out into the entire country, you get into communities to make sure that arts and culture is accessed so there's arts everywhere for everyone. It's about bringing on the talent of the future. We know we've got talent all over the country, but opportunities are not all over the country, so that's going to be spread out there. Much of our major organisations, in terms of our national portfolio organisations, do this wonderfully already. We're asking them to do more. So it's about making sure that that cultural heritage, that pride in place, that local pride, that community spirit is all part of it. And I'll give you an example, Nick. The analysis of the Bradford City of Culture, which has been a significant success, meant that 8 out of 10 people in the Bradford City region who were surveyed as part of that said they had much more pride in their own communities, much more pride in the place that they lived as part of being City of Culture. And I think that's one of the big driving forces about making sure that communities stay together.
Do you think currently there is an absence of national pride in this country?
I think it's degrading. I think our national story is being retold in different ways. I think arts and culture is the glue that holds many of our communities together, and that glue is slightly degrading. And I think we need to make sure that our national story and our stories of every community up and down the country continue to be told, not just in terms of heritage, but in terms of shaping those stories for the future.
All right. We might come back to national. Let's go to international matters. Can you help us in any way the interpretation of what's called the framework of a deal between President Trump and the NATO concerning the future of Greenland? Do you have any more updates on that?
Well, we don't have the detail, but we certainly welcome the diplomatic way in which this has been taken forward. The Prime Minister has been clear on that in terms of his speech on Monday, Prime Minister's questions yesterday and since, that the diplomatic channels here are working overdrive to make sure that we take that calm, pragmatic and measured approach to get to the right place here. And, you know, NATO...
What is the right place, Minister?
Well, the right place is to make sure that NATO is working to secure our national interests and secure the interests of all the members of NATO, and that is to make sure that the issues that are being raised as part of this Greenland play by the President of the United States are addressed. And I think the Secretary-General of NATO has been right at the heart of making sure that it's in all of our interest to make sure that the High North is protected with the current threats that we have in the world. And I think the diplomatic channels that have got us to this place should be very much congratulated.
In other matters, and we've talked about the pressure on finances, and your colleague Chancellor Rachel Reeves will be aware of them more than most, said she will announce support for pubs hit by soaring business rates, but there won't be similar relief extended to hotels, restaurants and cafes. Can you explain why?
The Chancellor said it yesterday that pubs are different. And
yes, I know pubs, but why not cafes or restaurants? What's the difference?
Well, we know that the hospitality sectors have struggled in recent years, particularly as a result of the pandemic and post-pandemic. They are getting a £4.3 billion support package through the business rates. The business rates have changed, obviously, because of the big reliefs that were in for COVID have now come to an end. The Chancellor committed to looking at the pubs issue, and you're right to say that the Treasury will come forward in the coming days with a package and some results of that consultation.
All right. And we've been talking a lot about national pride, the national story. A lot of people have pride in our military. And I read today that Labour MPs voted last night on the Legacy Act. British Army veterans who served in Northern Ireland could face a wave of prosecutions after that vote. How do you justify that?
Well, the bottom line here is the legislation that was passed by the previous government was challenged in court and found to be unlawful. And what we've tried to do is bring all the communities together. One thing that united...
Sorry, how are you bringing the communities together of military veterans?
Well, one of the key components of bringing the communities together in one voice previously was that they were all against the previous legislation. And what we're trying to do here is to make sure that it's fair on our veterans, it's fair.
How
on
is
the
it fair on our veterans?
We're upholding the Good Friday Agreement and indeed the legacy and the troubles in Northern Ireland. So the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland has been very clear about what is bringing this forward, and we're resolving the problems of the previous legislation.
No, okay. Let's talk about current legislation. The former commander of the SAS says that the government now means veterans could be hounded by money-hungry law firms for decades, some of whom are men in their 80s. How do you justify that?
I mean, I don't agree with that.
More than the commander of the SAS. Do explain why.
I don't agree with that characterisation at all.
Explain why.
For our minister for veterans, who is a veteran from the Marines, has been very clear in the House of Commons that this is about protecting our veterans and making sure that we can resolve the issues of the past in Northern
Ireland. You do know it means the bar on new civil claims over cases from the Troubles has gone. So soldiers, I say again, in their 80s and their 70s, are liable now for prosecution. How do you justify that?
I don't agree with that characterisation. The previous legislation united all communities in Northern Ireland that it was deficient. It was struck down by, had legal deficiencies, and the government are sorting that. We'll protect our veterans, and the Secretary of State for Defence and indeed the Veterans Minister has been very clear about
it. So all these military veterans are all wrong and the government is right, is it?
I don't agree with the characterisation of those military veterans.
We're not going to get very far on this, are we? Okay, well, I'm grateful for your time. Thank you, Ian Murray, your Minister for Creative Industries, Media and Arts, talking about $1.5 billion in total to be invested in cultural organisations to help restore national pride. We will definitely come back to that conversation concerning our vets, our military vets, later. It is exactly 8 o'clock. Let's get some LBC News headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, President Trump has dropped his threat of tariffs for allies opposing his ambition to take over Greenland. He says he's agreed a framework of a future deal for security in the Arctic region. There are a few details, but both Mr. Trump and the leader of NATO have described talks as very productive. Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper says she strongly expects the UK to be included in any future talks about Arctic security.
I hope this means we are now in a much better place to actually focus on what the real issues should be, which is our collective Arctic security, how NATO countries work together, respecting sovereignty, respecting our shared collective security in the face of shared threats.
An investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instruction on how to make chemical weapons. It's emerged Elon Musk's AI chatbot can be prompted to tell users how to make banned substances. The government says it's in direct talks with X to take immediate action to remove the content. X is yet to comment. A ban on social media for under-16s has been backed by the House of Lords. Peers supported the cross-party amendment, meaning it'll have to be considered by MPs. The government has started a consultation on a potential ban. A survey has suggested more than a quarter of children who started reception in England last year were not toilet trained. Early years charity Kindred Squared also found 28% didn't know how to use books correctly. The government says it's inherited a system where disadvantage was allowed to deepen, but it is determined to tackle it. And the arts and culture sector in England is to receive £1.5 billion of investment. The government says the cash is aimed at protecting institutions that would otherwise be at risk of closing. The Creative Industries Minister Ian Murray's just told Nick it'll help the country recover its self-confidence.
Investment in our cultural sector has been pretty deplorable over the last 15 years, and what we need to do is make sure that those kinds of cultural organisations are improved and are viable for the future, and that means our major museums that are big attractors for tourism, big attractors for cultural exhibitions that drive some of that economic growth as part of our creative industries is key. And if you look at our creative industry sector plan, which is one of our key industrial strategies, that is about driving that growth through that sector.
In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 reopened at 10,138. It closed up 11 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many, some heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Get sorted with full fibre deals from EE with the UK's best broadband technology.
Really?
Oh yeah, with non-stop browsing, gaming and working made better with full fibre 150 and our most powerful Wi-Fi 7 technology as standard.
But I'm on another contract.
You're covered. We're the only major provider who'll give you up to £300 to switch.
That's a good start to the year.
Offer ends 29th of January.
Up to £300 credited to your EE account. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims. New customers, 62% UK availability. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. It's 3 minutes after eight on Thursday, January the 22nd. Well, a lot of people might have gone to Switzerland to talk about Greenland, but one person who did not was British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. But did he actually, as a result, achieve his finest hour? We'll play you a little of what he said in Prime Minister's Questions and say and ask, did he actually play top trumps by not turning up in Davos? In other news, well, confusion seems to reign over this legacy act that military veterans are saying could leave men, some of them in their 80s, in their 70s, being dragged through the courts. Here's Shadow Defence Secretary, Conservative James Cartledge, saying the government is hounding military vets.
Nothing could be more damaging for morale and recruitment and retention than to once again pursue our veterans for the crime of serving this country and keeping us safe from terrorism.
Although if you were listening just a few minutes ago, the Labour Minister wasn't having it. We'll come back to that. Plus more details of that LBC exclusive later in the hour.
Elon Musk's Grok AI could be helping terrorists to make chemical weapons, as it shows us how to concoct mustard gas at home. I'm LBC's Joseph Draper, live with the exclusive.
Plus, help for pubs, but nothing for hoteliers, restaurateurs, cafe owners. I'll be asking why. And in an extraordinary story yesterday,
a mother of 10 has been found guilty of forcing a teenager with learning difficulties to be her house slave for 25 years. I'm LBC's Thea Rickard with the details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Notable by his absence. I speak of Sir Keir Starmer, but actually on this occasion, did he do the right thing by not turning up? Let's look at those who did RSVP in the positive for a trip to the World Economic Forum and Davos. Well, obviously, Donald Trump, Mark Carney, Canadian Prime Minister, Emmanuel Macron, the German Chancellor, the Secretary General of NATO, Mark Rutte, very key in this. Unsurprisingly, one might argue, Guy Parmelin, who's the President of Switzerland, but also Ursula von der Leyen, President of the European Commission, President of the State of Israel, Prime Minister of Belgium, President of Egypt, President of Argentina, on and on and on the list goes. But no Sir Keir Starmer. And when you consider how keen he is, I mean, if I just take you through foreign visits so far, he's been to the United States 5 times, France 5 times, Germany 5 times, Brazil 2, Belgium 2, Norway 2, Italy 2, and the Ukraine 2. I think he's also been to India. I mean, well, oh, goodness me. And all the other countries just take once. This is like the United Nations. Here we go, all once. Ireland, Netherlands, Denmark, Poland, Switzerland, Albania, Hungary, Estonia, Azerbaijan, Cyprus, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, UAE, India, South Africa, Canada and Samoa. Never hear Keir, but not to Davos. But did he make the right decision? Did he grow in your esteem? Here he is at the start of PMQ's Prime Minister's Questions yesterday.
I will not yield. Britain will not yield on our principles and values about the future of Greenland under threats of tariffs. And that is my clear position.
And into the back and forth with Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch. He was asked whether his position on Greenland means he could change his stance on the Chagos deal.
We all know that the people of Greenland do not want to be ruled by America. But does he agree that just as those in Greenland should decide their own future, so should the Chagossians?
Mr. Speaker, I've made out my position on Greenland absolutely clear on Monday and a moment ago. President Trump deployed words on Chagos yesterday that were different to his previous words of welcome and support when I met him in the White House. He deployed those words yesterday for the express purpose of putting pressure on me and Britain in relation to my values and principles on the future of Greenland. Mr. Speaker, he wants me to yield on my position, and I'm not going to do so. Given that that was his express purpose, I'm surprised the Leader of the Opposition has jumped on the bandwagon. I had understood... had understood her position, Mr. Speaker, I had understood her position to be that she supported the government's position on the future of Greenland. Now she appears to support words by President Trump to undermine the government's position on the future of Greenland. She's chosen naked opportunism over the national interest.
It was a case of carry on, Kemi, but Kirst remained clear.
Let me remind him, his Deputy Prime Minister, then Foreign Secretary, used to say that if President Trump didn't like the deal, it wouldn't go ahead. And let's look at what President Trump actually said. The Chagos deal is an act of great stupidity and a sign of total weakness. We didn't need President Trump to tell us that. We've been saying this for 12 months. And let's remind the Prime Minister, President Trump thought that we were doing this, that the Prime Minister is doing this for money. The Prime Minister is giving away territory we own, and why doesn't he just scrap this terrible deal and put the money into our armed forces?
Prime Minister. The words from President Trump were expressly intended to put pressure on me to yield on my principle. What he said about Chagos was literally in the same sentence as what he said about Greenland. That was his purpose. Yep. And the future of Greenland is a binary issue that is splitting the world at the moment with material consequences. I've been clear and consistent in my position on the future of Greenland. It is, the future is for Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark alone. The leader of the opposition has taken three positions in 10 days. 10 days ago, she said Greenland was, in her words, a second-order issue. 4 days ago, she said she supported our position on Greenland. Yep. Now she's backing arguments intended to undermine our position, Britain's position on Greenland.
So which was the right decision? Now, Never Hear Keir has earned that nickname because he made 40 international trips in his first 18 months. For context, at the same point in their premiership, David Cameron, 26, Theresa May, 25, Tony Blair, 24, but not Davos. Lee Turner, former British ambassador to Ukraine, wrote the book Lessons in Diplomacy, Politics, Power and Parties. Did Sir Keir play this one right? Good morning.
Morning, yes. Personally, I think that the Prime Minister did well to stay away from the chaos cloud hovering over Davos. The key thing, we mustn't forget that 24 hours ago, we had no idea that President Trump was going to do this massive U-turn on Greenland. And I'm not sure that running off to Davos every time that the US president turns up is really the right thing. It turned out better than everyone expected. But what was going on yesterday? It was really European leaders trying to calm Trump down, to just slow things down, to explain why these threats to annex Greenland were so dangerous to NATO and to the principle of territorial integrity that we fought the Falklands War over. Don't forget that.
Yes.
So I think not going to Davos, sort of dropping everything and rushing off there, was the right decision.
But as you rightly reference, Mr. Turner, Foreign Ambassador, the other European leaders were there, people such as Macron and the German Chancellor. Was he, I'll use the expression again, not notable by his absence then?
Well, I don't think so, really. You remember that on Monday, the Prime Minister was going to go off to somewhere in the UK to talk about some domestic political issue, I think, the cost of living. And
yes,
he couldn't go because suddenly he had to talk about Greenland.
He made the address from Downing Street, absolutely.
That's right. And then the following day he was going to talk about the same thing, something else, and got hijacked by this sudden bombshell about Diego Garcia. I mean, I remember back last May when President Trump was quoted in an official State Department press release as saying that the Chagos deal was a monumental achievement by the Prime Minister. So, you know, this sudden U-turn on that caught everybody by surprise. And to suddenly drop everything again and go off to Davos, I think would have smacked of panic, really.
Lastly, as a former British ambassador, how much would you like to be prowling the diplomatic corridors of power working with someone such as President Donald J. Trump, Lee?
What a challenge it must be, eh?
That's why you're a diplomat. The word challenge, I love it.
He makes a fetish of saying things, the president, and then doing something else. It's impossible to know if it's a tactic or if you listen to his speech yesterday. I mean, I don't want to be rude about the president of a major ally of the United Kingdom, but just listen to that speech. It's very strange stuff. And, you know, whatever happened to US action against Iran if the government there started killing people? Until late on Wednesday, Trump was saying that only owning Greenland would satisfy him. And there is this risk, isn't there, that we are left with what we can only call a legacy of mistrust over all this, that we feel we can never know what Donald Trump is going to say next or whether we can rely on what is just said. We don't even know if his campaign to take over Greenland is actually over, unfortunately.
I have to say farewell next. Lee Turner, thank you. Served as British Ambassador to Ukraine. The book is Lessons in Diplomacy, Politics, Power and Parties, 14 after 8. Listening, Charlie Rowley, who was former Special Advisor to Prime Minister Theresa May, later working with Michael Gove as Secretary of State, joining me now. OK, so you have been an advisor to a previous PM. Did Sir Keir get his advice right this time? Should he have gone to Davos, or did he somehow actually have a moment of power at the dispatch box? Charlie, morning.
Good morning, Nick. And I think he should have gone for all of those trips that you listed at the top of the programme. And I am someone, as you say, should be in the know. I can't tell you why on earth some of those trips took place. But when you've got the world coming together, this wasn't just some hastily arranged meeting. This is Davos. This happens every year. And the Prime Minister should have been there to, on the back of threats of tariffs against this country, he could have come back from that meeting an absolute hero, a political superstar, Nick. You know, saying, I went all the way over there, I took the challenge to Donald Trump, I talked him down from the brink of tariffs on the UK and the protections for Greenland. He could have then gone to the House of Commons today or even Friday and made a huge song and dance about it, whether it was outside Number 10 Downing Street or in Parliament. He would have been a hero. But I can't help but think there would have been some politico somewhere that said to the Prime Minister, you've made a comment in the past how much you prefer Davos over Westminster. Maybe we should just sit this one out. And I think that was the wrong decision.
Was there a possibility that he was frightened or chicken, Charlie?
Well, the fact that you're asking that question means that there'll be people out there that think that that was possibly the case. You know, we saw leaked messages from...
I mean, he's more conflicted than Monsieur Macron, isn't he?
Exactly.
Or Herr Merz, let's be honest about it.
Exactly. And look, you know, what Donald Trump was suggesting was, you know, far-fetched. The idea that he might go and, you know, at one point take Greenland by force, a NATO ally. And so that requires an international response of everybody to come together and go and see Donald Trump and say, look, you know, what you're talking about here is a little bit beyond what we all expect, to put it mildly. But, you know, the fact that Donald Trump, I think, whether he got what he really wanted, and so the whole thing about invading Greenland was a bit of a bluff, who knows, but he certainly backed down from invading Greenland in using military force to seize it. He's also said he's got a deal there, but that could have been something that, as I say, the Prime Minister Keir Starmer, along with Macron, along with Merz, along with Mark Rutte, you know, could have all said, we, as Europe, have been able to stand up to Donald Trump, including the UK that had tariffs threatened against it, and we've got our win there.
Charlie Rowley, your former special advisor to PM Theresa May. You work with Michael Gove as a Secretary of State. It really is a win or a loss, a win or no draw. He either is the victor by not going to Davos, or he looks rather vanquished. We'll take your views on that. It's 8:17 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has cancelled his threat of tariffs for allies opposing his plan to take over Greenland. An investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instruction on how to make chemical weapons. And a ban on social media for under-16s has been backed by the House of Lords. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M1 southbound to junction with the North Circular Road. That's Junction 1. It's because a car's broken down and one lane is closed for recovery. On the Surrey stretch of the M25, it's still very busy clockwise, but especially at Junction 11 at Chertsey. And that was after that accident that happened earlier. Then also on the M25, there are anti-clockwise queues from Junction 21 at the M1 to 19 at Watford. And that's where a lorry's broken down and two lanes are closed. On the A13, still lengthy delays westbound to the Lakeside turnoff. A lorry's broken down. And also there are lengthy delays on the A13 eastbound to Dagenham because of an accident that's happened just before Marsh Way.
This is LBC.
Idle money chills in your current account. Parked in front of the telly, wanting a snack, yet too lazy to move. But thanks to Monzo, busy money got up early, automatically split your paycheck into pots, rounded up your purchases into savings, invested your interest into ISAs. Oh, and has already written itself a to-do list for tomorrow. Monzo, the bank that gets your money moving. UK residents aged 18 plus, Monzo personal account required, capital at risk, T's and C's and fees may apply.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
To be or not to be.
Right now we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Chase is the digital bank you can count on.
How so?
Because you get 1% cash back on your grocery shop.
Like on prosciutto?
Yeah, prosciutto.
And seaweed crackers?
Sure, those two.
Oh, hang on, what about rotisserie chickens?
If it's in your grocery shop, Chase has got your cash back. Join today and get 1% cash back on debit card spending on groceries, fuel and everyday transport. Chase, see what your money can do. 18 plus UK residents eligibility applies. 1% cash back for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Exceptions apply.
Okay, done. Move that. And... oh, new ways to invest.
Okay.
Foolproof guaranteed returns. Invest today.
All right, I think I will.
Weigh before you seal the deal. Check if it's real. And if a company's authorised by the FCA.
Oh, thanks.
Search FCA Firm Checker.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 after 8. Let's get Christopher in Tower Hamlets into the conversation. It is very much a yes or no, Christopher. Either he did the right thing or he didn't. Which is it for you? Morning.
No, good morning, Nick. I'm afraid I don't agree with quite a lot of what you've said already, so can you please let me speak before you start shouting at me?
Well, sure, I'm not even upset about Starmer. I haven't even given an opinion.
Okay, one thing, just to say for a start, I'm not giving political views away, but I'm not a huge fan of Starmer.
Okay.
But I do understand negotiations, and I do understand treating people with dignity and respect.
Yep.
On Monday, Starmer gave a speech which was very, very low-key, completely low-key. He didn't say too much about Trump at all. He was very appeasing.
You.
Right, the next day, Carney came on, and he was really punching Trump quite hard, saying we're not taking this, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, so did Macron.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, European leaders discuss things. Now, when Trump came out about the thing about the Chagos, I think Starmer felt quite annoyed because they've discussed that before and Trump has already said that was a great idea and Marco Rubio is quoted as saying it was a fantastic idea in May last year.
But you are allowed to change
Starmer,
your mind.
No, let me finish, please.
Okay.
Starmer obviously felt quite annoyed about that because he's the sort of person that takes people at their word. So he did not go because he felt enough had been said. What more can he add to it?
Okay. Do you think the protection of the United Kingdom is enhanced by the Chagos deal?
Well, the thing is, at the end of the day, we took Mauritius with the Chagos in 1810.
Yes.
Right. In 1968, Mauritius was given freedom from UK.
Do you think it enhances national security?
No, we kept the Chagos because we built bases on it. And yes, we chucked everyone in the Chagos out to Mauritius.
We've agreed to pay £101 million a year to a total of more than £3 billion a year to give away a country we didn't need to give away.
Well, under international agreements which were agreed actually in 2022.
To which we are not a signatory. To which the United Kingdom is not a signatory.
It was advisory, but we felt it was the right thing to do, and so did
the Attorney General,
America
Lord Hermer. The Attorney General, Lord Hermer, who is certainly to the left, says it should be done. And we could take you through the makeup, the nationalities of the judges who sat on. Some are from Argentina, not particularly well disposed towards the United Kingdom. The Chagos deal stinks.
Okay? Well, I don't think it does, actually. I don't think we should.
But if we come back to Starmer,
I'm really interested in your point.
But what I'm really interested in is what we are talking about. Did Starmer win or lose by not going to Davos yesterday, Christopher? That's what I'm really interested in.
No, I shouldn't have gone. He was annoyed at Trump for going back on what he said about the Chagos, because he said it was a great deal previously.
And you said...
So he was personally annoyed at Trump.
And just lastly, as regards Donald Trump, and I know that you're totally offside with my comments, let me just try, because a lot of people... I mean, this is Julian in Denmark. Don't quote Chris. Julian in Denmark, why are you defending Trump and his supporters? He is an idiot. He's an imbecile. He needs to be removed from office immediately. This is too simplistic a way to look at it. Has he done things that are wrong? Yes. Has he done things that are distasteful? Yes. Has he done some things that are good? Yes. He helped get, unfortunately, the remains of some of the hostages and some living hostages back. You can't just write him off as wholly good or wholly bad, Christopher.
No, I'm not saying he's wholly good or wholly bad. There's two sides to every story, but I think he's had his whims clipped in this deal. Most of America was against him. He's had his wings clipped. He's not got what he wanted from this deal at all. He could have got this without turning the world into turmoil.
All right. I must leave it there. Really enjoyed our conversation. Have yourself a good day down there in East London. Thank you. Two other news. 8:25. A woman has been found guilty of modern slavery offences after holding a vulnerable person captive in her home for 25 years. A teenage girl was forced to work as a house slave for a woman and her 10 children for more than a quarter of a century. Gloucester Crown Court heard yesterday. Here with all the details is this extraordinary story. LBC's reporter, Thea Rickard.
Nick, the victim in this case, who we're calling Kay, was found bruised and malnourished after 56-year-old mother of 10, Amanda Wixon, forced her to be a house slave for more than two decades. And I must warn listeners, what I'm about to say next may be upsetting, because while she demanded her victim clean on her hands and knees every day, Wixon also poured washing up liquid down Kay's throat, rubbed bleach on her mouth and shaved her head against her will. And at that time, Nick, Kay called Wixon mum. Detective Sergeant Alex Pocket from Gloucestershire Police believes Amanda Wixon had a considerable sum of money coming from the benefits she was claiming for Kay.
From 2016 to 2021, Miss Wixon received over £33,000 in the victim's benefits. From the late 90s forward to 2016, I imagine it was a considerable sum of money.
Now, Nick, the victim, who has learning difficulties, was sent to stay with Wixon for the weekend in around 1996. But when Wixon offered to take responsibility for the vulnerable teenager, she ended up staying there for around 25 years. And Kay's captivity was so carefully concealed that her neighbour, Kieran Atwell, told LBC she assumed she'd moved out.
So I was out in my garden with my friend. We were doing R2 meter restriction, having a good old chinwag, and there was just a knock on the window. And as I'm looking around thinking, where's that come from, we look up into the bedroom of next door, and she was just there waving.
And you thought she'd moved out 10-15 years ago?
We hadn't seen her. I hadn't seen her since it had been 2016.
After the jury found Amanda Wixon guilty of false imprisonment, assault and forced labour, I confronted her outside Gloucester Crown Court and asked if she had anything to say to the woman she'd enslaved and abused.
I never done it.
How could you lock someone up for 25 years?
I never.
Are you a monster? Are you a monster, Amanda?
Say what you think.
So you're saying this whole jury's got it wrong?
Yeah.
Amanda, what have you got to say to your victim?
Nothing.
You've got nothing to say to her after locking her up for 25 years?
I do feel for her. But what they claim that I've done, I never done.
So, Nick, Wixson clearly showed little remorse as she left the court on conditional bail yesterday. The judge told her to expect a lengthy jail term when she's sentenced on the 12th of March.
Theo Rickard reporting. 8:28 is the time. Back to events here in the United Kingdom and the fact that our Prime Minister did not board a plane to Davos. Never Hear Keir was Hear Keir, and was that actually his finest hour? Tony in Barnum says, at PMQs it was his strongest performance, but I thought he looked uncomfortable. Why this was he didn't go is he didn't want to say it directly to Trump. Same subject. Kim says, believe me, many of us wouldn't mind a president saving us from Starmer. I hear it at work all the time. Joe in Elstree. Joe, did he do the right thing, Sir Keir, by being here?
Morning. Oh, good morning. Good morning, Nick. Pleasure to speak to you. I think in many ways, Starmer knows he's irrelevant. And I think the same thing that happened...
Do you think he'd say that? I don't know.
Oh, no, he wouldn't say that, but I think he knows it. I think he feels it. And what comes to mind is that I think there was a conference in Egypt quite a few months ago where Starmer stepped forward because he was summoned by Trump to step forward.
Oh, well remembered,
The world media was there, and then Trump basically told him to go away. And Starmer just retreated like a little choir boy. And unfortunately, I mean, it's true, isn't it, Nick? He is a pretty much a non-entity. He's got sort of Blair-like, like he's Teflon. He thinks nothing sticks. But everyone can see through him, and everyone knows he's one disaster away from leaving office anyway.
And that might be the May elections, of course, Joe.
Absolutely, yeah, and he knows this. So I think he's just trying to lessen the blow before he departs public life and he goes back into a private sector job somewhere. And because he knows the walls are closing in and Trump will crush him like an ant.
Thank you for that. I just want to, Joe, have a good day. On the Chagos Islands, which I was discussing just there, this comes in, it is dumbness on Starmer's part. Why the hell would you give away something that is yours and then you pay to give it away? It is the height of stupidity. That's from Aries on that. We might continue that conversation. Also, coming up after the news,
Elon Musk's Grok AI could be helping terrorists to make chemical weapons as it shows us how to concoct mustard gas at home. I'm LBC's Joseph Draper, live with the exclusive.
And then after nine, it's time to play... If you're struggling, that is the theme for Deal or No Deal. So is it a Dane deal for President Trump and Greenland, or is it actually no deal whatsoever? What framework will be asking you to play Deal or No Deal? 8:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. News time, Dominic Ellis.
President Trump says a possible deal on the future of Greenland will achieve everything the US wants. Mr. Trump has rode back on threats to seize it by force and impose tariffs on allies who oppose his plans to own it. The Foreign Secretary says the UK will not take part in Donald Trump's Board of Peace signing ceremony later today. Yvette Cooper has cited concerns about the Russian President Vladimir Putin's involvement. And an investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instruction on how to make chemical weapons. It's emerged Elon Musk's AI chatbot can be prompted to tell users how to make banned substances. LBC weather cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
I do think fundamentally Trump is not going to go so far as to invade Greenland. I mean, that would be absolutely off the scale, totally NATO-ending, continent-bending, awful. I don't know that he's there yet, but he is increasingly irrational, and we're going to have to do something.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
From rusty chains to fancy frames and everything in between, sign up for British Heart Foundation's iconic London to Brighton bike ride. Because it's not your wheels, it's how you use them. Whether you're a brand new rider or seasoned pro, challenge yourself this June and make your ride matter with British Heart Foundation. And you won't need any fancy gear, just your helmet and your bike. Sign up today, search London to Brighton bike ride and keep us beating.
Right now at TradePoint, get 3 for 2 on Dulux and Valspar interior paint, including trade and white paint. Plus, if you've loyalty discount, you'll get this on top, so you can save big on your next paint job. Find us at B&Q or shop online via the TradePoint website or app. Ends 26th of January. Exclusions and terms and conditions apply. See tradepoint.co.uk.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Rocky Soft Play.
Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quadrapillar, Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot, Bears. Kids, put on your swimmers for Jungle Splash.
Yeah, let's go, Mum.
Right. Cannon Arena, Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom, Go-Karts, Wave Runner Zoo, Magical Wood and Cafes.
Nutcatch Adventure Park. The sun goes on and on and on and on. Book now at nutcatch.com.
Sounds like Arjun is going to wake up feeling fresh. And it's a good job. Because he's got a big presentation to nail just down the road. Get better sleep for your money. Book your next work stay at Premier Inn.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
He was here, Keir, and he made himself clear, and it would seem a lot of you say he had one of his finest hours. We'll come back to your assessments of Sir Keir Starmer at Prime Minister's Questions, and then in the next hour we're playing Deal or No Deal. Is it a Don deal for Donald Trump? 8:34, but back to the story that you've heard covered on the LBC News Bulletin. Let's get you more details on this exclusive report. The government has said that Elon Musk's AI chatbox cannot go unchecked after an LBC investigation revealed that Grok can give users instructions on how to make chemical weapons. The LBC investigation found that Grok will tell users how to make ricin, chlorine gas, and nitrogen mustard gas. Here with the exclusive report, LBC's Joseph Draper. Joseph, morning.
Morning, Nick. Well, that's right. The billionaire, the self-described free speech advocate, Elon Musk's Grok AI, gave us simple instructions on how to make ricin, chlorine gas, mustard gas. Now, these are chemical agents we know have been involved in previous terror attacks. It even told us, Nick, how to weaponize anthrax, which is a life-threatening bacterial disease. And these are compounds used to make weapons of mass destruction, of course, prohibited in international law just because of how dangerous they are. But Grok gave us DIY-style instructions on how to make them from our bedrooms, essentially, at home. And it didn't take much convincing, either. We can't even show you that conversation because the information could be used by terrorists. We could be committing an offence by showing you it. Now, Lenny Phillips is a chemical weapons expert at think tank RUSI.
What the information from Grok does is take away the mystery of lab work and opens the possibility to those who previously believed they would need access to specific facilities, equipment or chemicals.
And of course, Ofcom, the media watchdog, Nick, is already investigating X after sexualized images of children were generated by this same chatbot and posted online. The company since said they're tightening restrictions, but our findings heaping yet more pressure on the social media company. Clearly as well, it's ringing alarm bells in government. They told us they were deeply concerned by these findings and had raised the issue directly with X. Here's the Prime Minister in the House of Commons earlier this month, insisting X would have to comply with UK law.
I have been informed that X is acting to ensure full compliance with UK law. If so, that is welcome, but we're not going to back down. They must act. We will take the necessary measures.
But these findings, Nick, could also put pressure on the government to introduce a social media ban for under-16s. Last year, Nick, you handed a dossier of terrorist content found freely online to the Met Police Commissioner, Sir Mark Rowley.
We have to protect young minds from the material that's out there, much of which is legal, but if you're lost in your bedroom and you're grazing on a diet of, I know, American school shooting materials, ISIS beheadings, extreme right wing propaganda, sort of, and then you're finding sort of, I know, there's material out there that give you tactics for use of knives, yes, and building explosives.
It's in this.
It's horrific.
It is horrific. This is ghastly.
And Nick, we also reached out to XAI for a comment. We gave them a week to respond. All we got was this automated message telling us legacy media lies. So there we are.
Joseph Draper with that exclusive report, 8:37. Joseph, thank you. You might want to get involved in that. You are definitely getting involved in our conversation about Sir Keir Starmer's decision to stay here. He was here, Keir. And this is what you're saying on the emails and social media. This comes in from Barry. Starmer played a blinder. I bet he plays poker, Will. He will wake up this morning and not believe his luck. Tony in Chichester, do you agree with that? It certainly was. It was a different Keir yesterday, wasn't it? Morning to you.
Morning, Nick. I did actually send you a message yesterday asking his exact question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get so many sport. I'm very sorry.
I know. Absolutely. No problem. Now, if all the other world leaders there, including Trump and NATO, were there, so he must have known that he was going to get criticised for not going.
Right.
And when you saw his performance yesterday, which was obviously his strongest performance, I thought there was fear in his eyes when he was saying it. He looked so uncomfortable. He really did.
Do you think Chagos has made him uncomfortable? An act of, I think it was the words of great stupidity, is how President Trump now characterises it, having been a supporter, by the way.
Yes, well, I can't understand that, because Trump's actually come out of a winner, because we've leased the islands back, it's costing us billions, and he's still got his base there.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense that he's... whatever Trump says doesn't make sense. So
there is a school of thought, of course, lastly, that probably of all the European leaders, Sir Keir is seen to be the closest to President Trump, certainly in the past, with the exception of Mark Rutte, who heads NATO. Certainly Macron, the German Chancellor, the Italian Prime Minister, they all kind of lean on Sir Keir to provide the bridge, as it were, between the United States, between Europe, the UK, and over to the United States. He might have been put in an invidious position because he knew how much opposition there was to Trump. And remembering, of course, how the previous caller told us he was once sort of ushered up to the mic and wasn't able to speak, Tony, I wonder how much that was playing in his mind.
Well, after what he said yesterday, I think Trump's going to be a little bit upset. I just think he was a bit scared to face up to him at Davos. Forgot the FIFA president.
I mean, as I say, Tony, you're right. And I mean, I will say again, because I don't know. Thank you, Tony. To say that Trump is wholly right in everything he does is ludicrous. To say he's wholly wrong in everything he does is ludicrous. Let me try a different way of the analogy of why I have some support for some of what Donald Trump does. I hope we all heard that. Some support for some. I say again, if you were, and my heart goes out to you, one of the families of the hostages, the Israeli hostages, who were getting down on bended knee, praying and weeping to President Trump because what they saw as his intervention got the hostages back, or in some instances, desperately sad instances, the remains of the hostages, that has to be seen, surely, as a positive thing. Now, just put yourself in the mind here of Trump, if you can. Whatever deal is done, and at 9 o'clock, it's 8:41 at the moment, at 9 o'clock we're going to be playing deal or no deal. Is it a Don deal or a Dane deal with Denmark, or is there no deal whatsoever? But Trump will be able to portray that for his base, and remember those midterms are not far off now, and his party is not doing very well. So he needs to get his Republican supporters out there and voting big time. Now, you can all shout and scream, it's not a deal, it's appalling. Put yourself in one of those helmet-wearing MAGA's shoes. They will hear that Trump has done a deal, and they will buy it. So that will play to his base. Does it mean it plays to us? No. Does it mean it plays to you? No. Mark Rutte, Sir Keir Starmer? No. No, no, no. But Donald Trump doesn't care about them. He's got to keep his party going. And those are the ones who will think, yep, look at that. He's the first president ever. We own a chunk of Greenland. They don't own a chunk of Greenland. They might even, in a bizarre idea, start giving $1 million to every Greenlander, if it is such an expression, to leave the country. But that's the way they see it. So this comes in, Eugene in Worcester. Why are you constantly justifying Trump? I'm not justifying Trump. I'm justifying the way he acts because it works to his voters. I mean, there's something, here we are, this is another one, here we are. Dave in Stoke, the world has changed. The Bretton Woods world order has sleepwalked into the hands of dictators. If one thing has changed, it's Europe knows it has to defend itself. Well, for too many years, Europe had too much defence, too cheap. And we allowed the United States to effectively pick up the cheque. And that was fine, as I said earlier this week, when you had presidents like Clinton or Reagan or even the Bushes, a pair of Bushes, or Obama, because they were, give or take, broadly speaking, sane. OK? We have someone now whose sanity could certainly at times be questioned and who said, I don't see why we're paying this all the time. Why are we doing that? Europe got it cheap. It's like our insurance policy. We just didn't keep up the payments. That's the reality. And how... Oh, there's a saying about this. How do you fight bad men? Right? If you'd allow that the Chinese president isn't a particularly desirable fellow, nor the Russian president, nor the Ayatollah in Iran, good men fighting bad men won't always win. Sometimes you sometimes you have to deploy a little bit of ruthlessness. Otherwise, you will get gamed every single time. Enough of me. Tristan's in Lee on Sea. How did Keir do yesterday, Tristan? Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to call in, the regular texter. I think for me, it was nice to actually see him take a firmer stance.
Okay,
I think the way he spoke was a lot, you know, kind of more profound than he normally is. He normally seems shy, normally seems a bit weak and a bit indecisive. And it was nice to actually see him kind of take a position and say, nope, this is where I'm going to be and kind of maintain it.
And that did him good, did him proud, you think, yesterday?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, when we were looking last week and it was all kind of initially starting, everyone was questioning, you know, was he strong enough? Was it his Love Actually moment? I think was you know, yourself and James O'Brien were talking about. And I think everyone says, well, maybe he should have been a bit firmer. Maybe he wasn't taking a strong enough stance. And now that he's done that, people are saying, oh, should he have been out there? Should he have, you know, kind of maybe not been as firm? And I think we can't have it both ways.
And how hacked off do you think he is over Trump's opposition now to the Chagos deal?
I think it's probably just another snub that Trump's given him, especially after the mentioned the previous line of him being called up to the podium and turned away.
Yeah.
But I think, to be honest, I think it probably wouldn't factor too much in. He probably had, you know, what he was going to do lined up, and that was that.
Good to turn a texter into a voice on the radio. Tristan, thank you. Nice hearing your voice. We will stay this conversation coming up at 9 o'clock or just after 9. We're going to play Deal or No Deal.
It's a long-term deal. It's the ultimate long-term deal. And I think it puts everybody in a really good position.
He loves playing on the piano. He's very bigly on the piano. Is it a deal or is it actually no deal? What is this supposed framework? And then to events back home, Shadow Defence Secretary James Cartledge says the government is hounding former soldiers through the courts with the legacy bill that was voted through yesterday.
Nothing could be more damaging for morale and recruitment and retention than to once again pursue our veterans for the crime of serving this country and keeping us safe from terrorism.
More on that in the next hour. It is 9:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has cancelled his threat of tariffs for allies opposing his plan to take over Greenland. The Foreign Secretary says the UK won't take part in Donald Trump's Board of Peace signing ceremony later over concerns about Vladimir Putin's inclusion on the panel. And an investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instruction on how to make banned chemical weapons. LBC weather cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M1 southbound to Junction 1 at Staples Corner at the North Circular Road, and that's because a car's broken down and one lane is closed. And then on the M25 from the M1, there are anti-clockwise queues to Junction 19 at Watford, and that's because a car broke down earlier. Also on the M25, there are clockwise queues to Junction 17 at Maple Cross after an accident, and anti-clockwise, it's still very slow to the Dartford Tunnel following an accident. Busy on the M3 northbound to Junction 5 at Hook, and that's also after an accident. And on the trains, Thames Link services aren't running between London Bridge and Dartford. And also on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo line because of a shortage of trains.
LBC.
Experience. It's knowing the difference between a good deal and, well, a great deal. Right now, get 3 months free when you take out Saga Health Insurance. You get 24/7 GP access whenever you want it. And the freedom to choose your preferred private hospital with your own room, should you need it. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 19th of February. Pay bi-monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345-6060-973. LBC.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead.
I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling.
Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on. Get up to £300 off city breaks and up to 20% off flights. That's something special to book forward to. EasyJet, get out there. Selected dates and flights. Flight sale ends 3rd of Feb. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and beautiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Beautiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir. And reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's come out, it's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
10 minutes before nine, we will rightly come back to global affairs involving Switzerland and the United States and Greenland and everything else. But let's focus on matters here and focus on financial matters. We've had a couple of key economic indicators. Yesterday, of course, it was the inflation figure, which unfortunately, regrettably, has ticked up. First increase in 5 months to 3.4%. And we had some government borrowing figures, which we told you about in the first hour of the show. Let's get a response now from Conservative MP and Shadow Chancellor, Sir Mel Stride. Good to have you on, Sir Mel. With which figure do you want to start? Good morning.
Well, shall we start with inflation, as you mentioned it?
Chronologically. Let's do it chronologically.
Okay, yep. So with inflation... Bad news. The IMF says that we'll have the highest inflation in the G7 this year and next year. And you've got to ask the question, why has this happened? It's happened because of the policies this government has pursued. It has...
Five months where, of course, it didn't go up, Sir Mel. We have to pay credit there, don't we?
Well, if you look back through time, Nick, actually, on the day of the general election, it was at 2%, bang on the Bank of England's target. It's been getting up towards twice that level during the period that the government has been in office. And it's because they've taxed businesses. Some of that has been passed on by way of higher prices. They've not focused on productivity, but simply caving into their trade union paymasters when it comes to wage increases. And finally, of course, they borrowed vast amounts of money, spent lots of money, which has been inflationary, kept interest rates higher than they would otherwise have been, and caused a great deal of pain. But moving on...
But what does that mean for my listeners? I appreciate you are a Shadow Chancellor, so you mix with economists. But for Mrs Jones in Clapham, what does it mean to her?
For Mrs Jones in Clapham, it means that things are more expensive in the shops, that you're getting poorer, your standard of living is decreasing. If you look within that 3.4% figure, Nick, that's the headline rate. The rate of inflation for food, for example, that Mrs Jones is probably consuming, because most of us do...
We do.
..is running at 4.5%. So no wonder people are feeling the squeeze, particularly the poorest and often the most vulnerable in our society. That's what inflation... does, and it is because of the choices the government's taken.
The economic experts that you mix with on a daily basis, the bankers and others, the men and women in the city, what are they thinking over the coming months, Sir Mel, as regards inflation? What are they thinking?
Well, we'll have to see what happens. If you look at the OBR, they suggest that inflation might start to moderate through time. But you've always got to ask the counterfactual question, which is what would have happened to inflation, irrespective of whether it's going up or down, if you had done things differently? And the answer is, if you had controlled public spending, not heaped taxes on businesses, you would have had lower inflation overall. People would have been feeling better in terms of their standard of living. So it is about choices and the wrong choices having been taken on inflation.
Should we talk about borrowing? What,
yes.
I just remind that, if you give me a minute, just remind the listeners of the figures. I appreciate you've got them obviously at the top of your head, but UK government borrowing fell sharply to £11.6 billion in December. A spike in tax receipts and national insurance more than outweighed an uptick in spending, official figures show. Samel.
Yeah, so if you look at borrowing, Nick, we have got this year and last year the two highest years for borrowing on record outside of the pandemic. And so borrowing is out of control.
But it did come down, one has to say, Samantha.
Well, year on year for that 1 month. But if you look at the whole year to date, it's actually just over £140 billion, which, as I say, taken this year. And if you look at last year, they are the two highest figures outside of the pandemic under this government. And the answer to it is to control government spending, particularly the welfare bill. We've got far too many people on benefits who are not in work, who should be off those benefits and in work. And that's why at our party conference I set out £23 billion worth of savings specifically in the welfare bill.
Didn't I hear your close friend, Robert Jenrick, you might remember him, say just a few days ago that you were the architect of the welfare spending, Samel, in your previous role?
Well, he will have had his own particular reasons.
Oh, you mean like the Queen? Recollections may vary here.
Yeah, to attack me and attack various of my colleagues that he sat round the shadow cabinet table with until recently, knowing he was going to defect whilst nodding away to most of the things that were being said. He also, incidentally, Nick, tweeted out after the last general election that the work that I had done had showcased the very best of the Conservative Party. And he also said that the reforms that I've been bringing through in welfare were both fair and also underpinning the fact that we were able to move towards a responsible cutting of taxation. So he tends to, you know, shift around his position.
Call it the way
things.
He sees it. He's the Stockley Park.
Depending on where he is at that particular moment in time, he takes his he puts forward his opinion.
Can I hit you with another number, Samuel?
Yes, of course.
220,000. That's the number of jobs that have been lost since the Labour Party came to power. It averages out at about 1,400 a day. How much is the budget that came in last? Not last year. The prior one with the hike in NI national insurance, how much is that responsible for that, and what do you see on the jobs front?
Well, we've got the highest level of unemployment now for 5 years, so highest since the pandemic. What I see on the jobs front is the dangers of a significantly weakening labour market going forward, and we're seeing a lot of that data in real time coming through. The reason why that is happening is if you tax something, Nick, you get less of it. So if you heap taxes through national insurance on employers, that is a tax on jobs, and if you do that, you get less jobs, you get lower wages, and of course you get the inflationary effects that we've also been discussing earlier. So I'm afraid on employment, I'm really very concerned going forward, particularly for younger people, because younger people going into areas like retail, hospitality and leisure, they're being particularly hit by these national insurance increases. So it's often that first job, that first opportunity to get on the job ladder. They are being disproportionately hit by those taxes, and that's a real problem now.
Last minute or so together, let me pick up on the hospitality sector. You're probably aware the Chancellor, who I referenced earlier, Rachel Reeves, said she will announce support for pubs hit by soaring business rates, but also indicated similar relief will not be extended to hotels, restaurateurs and cafes. It does seem rather unjust, Samel.
Yeah, it's totally wrong. Look, we need to support our pubs, absolutely, and they've been hit not just by national insurance increases, but by these business rate increases coming down the line and changes to employment legislation. It's all bearing down on them. But it's also out there in the broader hospitality sector, venues, restaurants, and those kind of businesses too. So I wrote to the Chancellor actually a little while ago to really press her and say, look, you've got to do this across the board, not just for pubs. I suspect what she'll do for pubs will be too little too late. She can't afford to do much. Why? Because she's mismanaged the economy, and I'm afraid the money's not there. That's the problem.
Last minute. British Army veterans who served in Northern Ireland could face a wave of prosecutions after MPs voted to scrap their legal protection. We have former commander of the SAS saying, this makes 80-year-old men vulnerable to being hounded by money-hungry ordinary law firms for decades. I locked horns with the minister in the first hour of the show. He just wasn't having it. But your reaction to that vote last night, Samel?
Well, look, I think we should stand up for our veterans, particularly those who served during the Troubles. Some of them paid the ultimate price. Many paid, made huge sacrifices at great detriment to their lives. We brought in legacy legislation that would have protected them from these vexatious claims and being hounded all those years later. This government takes a different view, and it's fundamentally wrong.
Finally, we are about to play Deal or No Deal. No, not the TV show. I'm taking my listeners to Davos. Is it a Don deal or a Dane deal? Or was no deal done? Samel, how do you interpret the last 24 hours, well, not even 24, actually, last 18 hours or so?
Well, it's indicative of how volatile the world is with Donald Trump as president. He can go one minute from saying that he might be minded to invade a fellow NATO member, slap tariffs on a lot of Europe, to the next minute turning around and saying, well, actually, no, that's fine, we can get a deal, we can make all of this work. I think part of the lesson here, Nick, is that you do need to stand up to Donald Trump, certainly on particular occasions. Europe did, to be fair, do that. They signalled very clearly that they would bring in tariffs to reciprocate if the Americans did that. And I suspect that is part of the reason why he's moved to the position that he's moved to. But everything is uncertain in the world of Donald Trump. Who knows what we'll be discussing tomorrow or the day after. Let's just hope that this deal sticks.
Grateful for your time. Samel Stry, Shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, talking about those key economic indicators. Government borrowing was, of course, today. That's fallen sharply, but as Samel pointed out, it has been at an all-time high post-pandemic, post-COVID. And unfortunately, inflation, you can't argue about that, is up to 3.4%. All right. Conversation, as I just said to Samel, or just ask Samel, it is time to play Deal or No Deal. Just exactly was a Dane deal done by the Don yesterday in Davos, or is it all just a load of nonsense? Plus, never mind Homes for Heroes hounding our heroes after a vote yesterday that will remove the law that stops them being prosecuted. And back to that argument, calling all hoteliers, restaurant owners, restaurateurs, cafe owners. It looks like some relief is coming the way of publicans, but not for your sector. What is the reality as you try and employ your staff and run those restaurants? The 9 o'clock news on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, President Trump says a possible deal on the future of Greenland will achieve everything that the US wants. Mr. Trump has rowed back on threats to seize it by force and impose tariffs on allies who oppose his plans to own it. He's offered few details, but says talks with the leader of NATO have been very productive. Shadow Chancellor Samel Stride has just told Nick the UK has to learn lessons from the past week.
You do need to stand up to Donald Trump, certainly on particular occasions. Europe did, to be fair, do that. They signalled very clearly that they would bring in tariffs to reciprocate if the Americans did that. And I suspect that is part of the reason why he's moved to the position that he's moved to. But everything is uncertain in the world of Donald Trump.
The Foreign Secretary says Britain will not sign Donald Trump's so-called Border Peace Treaty. Yvette Cooper says the UK has concerns about the prospect of Vladimir Putin being involved in the project. An LBC investigation has found Grok can provide instructions on how to make chemical weapons. It's emerged Elon Musk's AI chatbot can be prompted to tell users how to make banned substances. The government says it's in direct talks with X to take immediate action to remove the content. James Milners is a chemical weapons expert and has told LBC it's concerning.
The availability of information, although it's been out in the public domain for a better term for a long time on the internet, the likes of Grok and other platforms that enable relatively easy access to this sort of stuff. And I guess what AI does, it changes the speed, scale and personalization. It compresses a lot of reading into minutes, which really is the acceleration point. And it speeds up, you know, not only good work, but bad work as well.
X is yet to respond to a request for comment. The House of Lords has voted in favour of banning under-16s from using social media. The government has signalled it'll try and overturn the amendment in the Commons while it carries out its own consultation. And Liz Hurley is expected to take to the stand in the legal action against the Daily Mail's publisher later. She'll follow Prince Harry, who gave evidence yesterday. They're among high-profile figures who accuse Associated Newspapers of unlawful information gathering, which it denies.
In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 79 at 10,219. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many today. Some heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
So, John, you think Argos is just good for toys?
Well, no, I...
Trevor, show him what he's missing.
This sleek Bose Soundlink Bluetooth speaker. Brilliant bass, eh, John?
Oh, there is more to Argos.
Get the latest tech and more on the Argos app today. Subject to availability in selected stores and argos.co.uk.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after nine on Thursday, January the 22nd. Coming up in this hour, I've already trailed it on enough occasions. We're going to play deal or no deal. What did Trump actually achieve? Was whatever the achievements are actually pretty limited and restricted to his base back in the United States. In other news, the row over, not homes for heroes, now hounding of our heroes. A vote yesterday, supported in vast numbers by Labour MPs, that will take away legal protection from heroes who served in Ulster, now in their 70s or 80s, could now be chased through the civil courts. I challenged Government Minister, Culture Minister Ian Murray in the first hour of the show.
What we've tried to do is bring all the communities together. One thing that united...
Sorry, how are you bringing the communities together of military veterans?
Well, one of the key components of bringing the communities together in one voice previously was that they were all against the previous legislation.
Utter tosh. And in other news, as publicans might not anymore need to cry into their beer, there could be some financial aid. It would appear help is off the menu for restaurateurs and others. Shadow Chancellor Sir Mel Stride.
I suspect what she'll do for pubs will be too little too late. She can't afford to do much. Why? Because she's mismanaged the economy, and I'm afraid the money's not there. That's the problem.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The question is, I suppose, did we confront him or have we just had sex with a T-Rex? Have we been eaten, or have we had intercourse with Donald, as you allow, Gavin Newsom's analogy as regards the Tyrannosaurus Rex? What did Europe do? What has Europe achieved? What has Donald Trump achieved? Now, in the context of Europe, if you are a European, absolutely nothing. It probably looks demeaned in every way. If you are right, well, you wouldn't be right now this morning. You'd be about 2 a.m. But if you're later today about to get in your Chevrolet truck in South Carolina and drive down and get yourself some beers and whatever else it is you fancy, and you hear, wow, you know what? Donald's got us part of Greenland. That's how it will be portrayed to his voting base. That doesn't mean it's right. But most politicians are in it, of course. Some of them are in it for all the right reasons as well, but they want to get voted back. I know Donald Trump can't be voted back, but he's got his midterms. He needs to be seen to achieve something. So if you were to have a brutal cold analysis of the deal currently, there is no deal. Although everyone talks about a framework, nobody seems to know what that framework is. But can he portray that to his voters? You bet your bottom dollar he can. And that is the way you need to look at it. Not through, I would suggest, a rather constricted British or European spotlight or view. Try and be more broadened. Try and I know it's reprehensible to most, or to many, not most, to many of you, try and put yourselves in the voters of Alabama and Tennessee and some of those southern states. They will be seeing this as a victory. This will be seeing as a MAGA. So just try. I know it's hard, and I know for some of you it's impossible. I absolutely get it. It's just, you just don't have the intellectual bandwidth to do it. But put yourself in the shoes of one of those American voters, and they'll be sitting in the bar, drinking the bourbon and doing whatever it is. They don't be drinking Coors Light. I don't think that even exists anymore, does it? They'll be drinking whatever beer they will, and they will be saying he's done it. Now, it's very easy to point and laugh, and it's quite healthy to point and laugh. But just think through those eyes as we go to 70 Minutes. 70 Minutes. Daddy Cool went over to do a deal in Davos. During a wide-ranging speech that went off script, had digs at European leaders, here is the biggest news line concerning Greenland.
We probably won't get anything unless I decide to use excessive strength and force, where we would be, frankly, unstoppable. But I won't do that. Okay, now everyone's saying, oh, good. That's probably the biggest statement I made, because people thought I would use force. I don't have to use force. I don't want to use force. I won't use force.
Yeah, and just as Mum went to Iceland, occasionally, bizarrely, so did the president.
They're not there for us on Iceland, that I can tell you. I mean, our stock market took the first dip yesterday because of Iceland. So Iceland's already cost us a lot of money. But that dip is peanuts compared to what it's gone up.
After the speech, the president met with the NATO Secretary General, Mark Rutte, and announced he'd reached a framework for a future deal. He offered few details, but both he and Rutte, point importantly, described the talks as very productive. President Trump briefly spoke with reporters afterwards.
It's a long-term deal. It's the ultimate long-term deal. And I think it puts everybody in a really good position, especially as it pertains to security and minerals and everything else.
Now, if you were listening earlier, you'll know that we had brought into the conversation a Greenlander. Delighted to say we go back to Malik Dollarup Scheibel, 21-year-old Greenlander, among thousands who protested last weekend, joins me now. Malik, I'm not familiar with your TV schedules, but we have a programme over here called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it is reported that Donald Trump is ready to give every Greenlander $1 million. Malik, do you want to be a millionaire? Good morning.
Morning, and not in that way I want to become a millionaire. Everybody up here says the same thing. We don't want to be millionaires like the Americans do. It's just not the way we do it.
Well, I think I respect that and honour the way that you want to make your millions. What do you take from yesterday, Malik, and what are your friends, neighbours and fellow campaigners saying?
Well, his speech is outright disrespectful and calling us a piece of ice, confusing himself in Iceland's naming it also. But his speech is not even coherent anymore. He talks in East and West now and says historical things that didn't even happen or has very specific wrongs in it. And it was just so confusing to see what he said. But the thing is, he said not to use force. Do we believe it? Not so much.
Oh, right.
He could still use it at any point.
How do you view what the West, what the European Union, what NATO tried to achieve? Do you have sympathy? Do you have support? Do you think they've stuck by you, Malik?
Well, the European nations has stuck by us in a big way, planning to use the tariff bazooka so that they could do a response to Trump, but him kind of cancelling the tariffs on the 1st of February is a big thing that actually made a lot of us like go in a little bit more of an easy day, so we didn't get so tense, but yesterday we got the news that we need to prepare for 5 days in case of a crisis up here.
Right.
So that kind of made it a little bit uneasy to know what do we hope.
Well, it's
and
funny
what
you
do
would
we expect.
It's funny you would say that's gosh. Those are exact questions I was about to ask, Malik. What do you hope will happen next? What do you want to happen next? Two different questions there, Malik.
Yeah. Well, I hope for everything that nothing happens to Greenland in any sense, that we can just move on with the dialogue and have some respect in the conversation about what we can help and what we cannot help with. That's the only thing we ask. That's that's without a discussion. Just we don't want to be Americans. That shouldn't be a discussion.
Indeed. Lastly, as a result of yesterday at Davos, do you feel safer about your future, less safer about you and Greenland's future, or it's made absolutely no difference to Trump's ambitions? Malik.
Well, it made me a little bit, feeling a little bit safer about him wanting Greenland after he also made the very weird talk about a deal that nobody up here or even the governments of Denmark and Greenland has any idea what entails. But it makes us very uneasy that he just talks plainly about anything that comes to his mind. So we actually seem to be in the same spot.
Good speaking with you. Good luck with your studies. Thank you for taking time to come on the radio. Malik Dollarup Scheibel is a Greenlander, and he's saying thanks, but no thanks, to $1 million. John asks, how did he make a deal with the head of NATO? Well, there is no deal. They talk about a framework of the deal. Nick says, there's no point being reasonable or logical with Trump. He's a gangster, and NATO needs to wean itself off the US. Well, that's an interesting idea, Nick, because if they were to do that, who's going to pay for NATO? Because for decades, US have picked up the bill, and we've had defence on the cheap, and now, unfortunately, it's come to bite us in the rear end. Mays in Stratford-upon-Avon. Deal or no deal yesterday? How are you calling it? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I think it's a deal for him.
Yes. Go on.
Well, I think a lot of people just let their TDS get in the way. They just dislike Trump, and yes. I think they work themselves up in a hysteria, and they end up hearing what they want to hear, right, rather than what he actually says. He never actually said that he was going to attack Greenland.
Well, he did say he might.
He plays around with words, but I think he lets people go crazy, and he gets what he wants in the end. I think he can sell it to his base as
huge. There's no question.
In Telegraph, I read that this morning that this is going to be like a Cyprus type of deal for the US. I wasn't sure if it was already, but then he can sell it as it's their US territory, which I think people will like back there. And I think once they're there as a US territory, they will not be leaving.
I think you're right, and I think I might have mentioned these states already, but if you are in the Carolinas or in Arkansas or in Tennessee or in Texas, this is manner of heaven. This is music to your ears. This is MAGA. Now, you and I can look at it differently. You're sitting in Stratford-upon-Avon. I'm sitting in London. We're sitting in the United Kingdom. We're sitting as part of Europe. But we're not sitting in North Carolina. That's the reality of it.
Exactly. And I just think people need to sometimes... It's a bit like with the Brexit, where people just get overworked with the Remain Brexit. They just can't get over the fact that Trump won, and they still seem to be angry with him, and they sometimes let those feelings get in the way.
Lastly, of course, he did have an agreement dating back to the 1950s that would allow him to expand his bases on the US. So, again, the victory he's had is at home. It's not in Greenland, it's not in Davos, it's at home with his voters.
And for the 250th anniversary for the US, it works very well for his base.
May, thank you. We'll have more reaction on that. Plus, coming up after the news, the betrayal of our heroes. I challenge Culture Minister Ian Murray about a vote that will do down or do away with the legacy law. This was in the first hour.
What we've tried to do is bring all the communities together. One thing that united...
Sorry, how are you bringing the communities together of military veterans?
Well, one of the key components of bringing the communities together in one voice previously was that they were all against the previous legislation.
And this is as a former commander of the SAS says this will allow heroes to be hounded through the courts. Whose argument are you buying there? 9:15, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has cancelled his threat of tariffs for allies opposing his plan to take over Greenland. The Foreign Secretary says the UK won't take part in Donald Trump's Board of Peace signing ceremony later over concerns about Vladimir Putin's inclusion on the panel. And an investigation by LBC has found Grok can provide instruction on how to make banned chemical weapons. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 in quite a few places. Anti-clockwise, it's still very slow to the Dartford Tunnel. Also, clockwise, it's still very busy at Junction 11 at Chertsey. And also, one lane stays closed clockwise at Junction 17 at Maple Cross, and that's because of an accident. Long delays on the M3 northbound to Junction 5 at Hook, that's because of an accident. And also, the problems continue in Purley on the A22. There are delays in both directions to the Brighton Road, where the traffic lights aren't working. The A13 slow westbound to the lakeside turn off after that lorry broke down earlier. And eastbound, it's still very busy on the A13 to Dagenham following an accident. And on the trains, Thames Link are suspended between London Bridge and Dartford.
This is LBC.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco Car Insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco Car Insurance.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use.
Interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Trains at Chichester. Flasks filled, snacks packed, all ready for Maisie's first stargazing adventure.
Come on, Maisie. Follow everyone up to the top of that hill.
Oh, look. That one's the plough.
Shooting star. Wow.
Made it. Last train back and feeling cosmic. And it seems we have an astronaut in the making. Download the Southern Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop has a story.
All right, resistance up. Let's climb.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my knee's playing up again.
Have you ever had it looked at?
No, but I've been doing a few stretches.
When my shoulder went, Benenden Health got me expert help. Showed me exactly where I was going wrong.
30 seconds, people.
Press play on your health with physiotherapy and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services, including physio. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Despite the call there from May, we're playing Deal or No Deal, and I have to say, when you factor in social media, you factor in all the text votes, it's seen very much as a no deal. But I ask again, don't look at it through... Well, I appreciate, of course you will, but you're looking at the eyes from someone in the United Kingdom, or indeed someone in Europe, try and look at it through the eyes of an American voter, which is to whom, of course, the President is trying to appeal. Peter's in Stirling. Deal or no deal? Morning.
No deal, Nick. And when you say an American voter, you're talking about a very specific set of American voters, which are the MAGA voters.
Yeah, his base.
You forget that there was a large proportion of the country that didn't vote for him, including quite a few of my close friends.
He'll never get them back, Peter.
Exactly. So when you say American voters, I think you need to be a bit more specific.
Well, yeah, he needs to keep... Well, let me finish, sorry. He needs to keep his 77.6 million voters, and he knows he's lost some. He needs to keep as many as he can.
Well, he had a 17% polling rate on Greenland last week. So I am going to say this. I think you're giving Trump far too much credit with all of this and generally his approach. He is flailing around madly, and then what's happening is it's the people around him. His team has changed. Mm-hmm. He is still the same man he was in his first presidency, but his team, Vance, Hegseth, Bondi, the Project 2025 document, it's all there, and that's why he is having this presidency where so much is getting done, because there are people there who will talk him down. And just hours before he made that speech,
He's only got till November, the midterms.
Yes, but Nick, literally, I think it was about 2 or 3 hours before he made that speech at Davos yesterday, the EU announced a pause in the EU-US trade deal. Is that going to get mentioned at all? I would not be surprised if his team around him just said, look, the economic damage here is going to be huge. We've all got vested interests. This isn't worth it. Let's spin this as a win. And then Rutte goes, look, you can put more bases in Greenland, which I spoke to one of your colleagues at the weekend and said, NATO needs to find something where it's not really a deal, but they can sell it to Trump as a deal.
Yes.
It's not really a deal.
No, I agree. We don't know it yet, Peter, but certainly you're absolutely right. The so-called framework, which is impossible to see what's hanging on this framework. No, I agree with you. But at least you accept that it's not actually made for me in London or you in Stirling. It's not designed for that at all.
Well, I don't think it was designed. I think it's damage limitation. I think he's now having to make the best of a bad lot. He painted himself into a corner. His team said, whoa, hold your horses there. And now he's going to have to paint it as a victory.
But he never holds his horses. And I doubt if the team even now waste their breath. They know he won't hold his horses. He deals like I'm going to be charitable, a New York property developer. Mum might use the word something more like out of Goodfellas, but that's the way he deals. And then he shoots for the moon, and then he'll settle for a space shuttle. That's the reality.
Nick, he's pulled back from military force in Iran. He pulled back from his tariffs last year. He's pulled back from the tariffs this year. To suggest that he is not...
Why? This is what I can't get through to people. There's no point trying to apply rationality to someone like Donald Trump. okay? You are too decent and rational a person. You have to have a streak of absolute madness in you. Yes, not at all. You have to have an absolute streak of madness or anarchy in you to, and I don't say approve of, but to appreciate what the man does. And I think you're too decent a bloke, and you're too rational a bloke. The old world order, whether we like it or not, currently has gone, is suspended. That's why you have Ayatollahs in Tehran, and you have people like Putin in Moscow. That's the reality.
Well, I think that what you're doing is you're trying to look at the rationality of the man and not the people around him. He's got an incredibly rational and very clever team around him. For God's sake, as I said, there's that massive 900-page-plus document that meant that from day one last year, he hit the ground running. There were thousands of employees changing hands and stuff. But that wasn't Trump. He didn't have a word in that document.
And also, he's got to run even faster because the clock is ticking to those midterms. Peter, thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Got to leave it there because we must reflect domestic stories. And I'm rather angry this morning, I don't know how you feel, about the way our veterans have been treated. Because those served in Northern Ireland are facing a wave of prosecutions after a vote last night to scrap their legal protection. Now, in the first hour of the show, I spoke with, he's the culture minister, but he is the man who's been put on the round, Ian Murray. And I asked him to justify this possibility that our heroes will be hounded.
Well, the bottom line here is the legislation that was passed by the previous government was challenged in court and found to be unlawful. And what we've tried to do is bring all the communities together. One thing that united...
Sorry, how are you bringing the communities together of military veterans?
Well, one of the key components of bringing the communities together in one voice previously was that they were all against the previous legislation. And what we're trying to do here is to make sure that it's fair on our veterans, it's fair.
How
on
is
the
it fair on our veterans?
We're upholding the Good Friday Agreement and indeed the legacy and the troubles in Northern Ireland. So the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland has been very clear about what is bringing this forward. And we're resolving the problems of the previous legislation.
No, okay. Let's talk about current legislation. The former commander of the SAS says that the government now means veterans could be hounded by money-hungry law firms for decades, some of whom are men in their 80s. How do you justify that?
I mean, I don't agree with that.
More than the commander of the SAS. Do explain why.
I don't agree with that characterisation at all.
Do explain why.
Our Minister for Veterans, who is a veteran from the Marines, has been very clear in the House of Commons that this is about protecting our veterans and making sure that we can resolve the issues of the past in Northern Ireland.
You do know what it means. You do know it means the bar on new civil claims over cases from the Troubles has gone. So soldiers, I say again, in their 80s and their 70s, are liable now for prosecution. How do you justify that?
I don't agree with that characterisation. The previous legislation united all communities in Northern Ireland that it was deficient. It was struck down by, had legal deficiencies, and the government are sorting that. We'll protect our veterans, and the Secretary of State for Defence and indeed the Veterans Minister has been very clear about it.
So all these military veterans are all wrong and the government is right, is it?
I don't agree with the characterisation of those military veterans.
We're not going to get very far on this, are we? And that's where I decided to conclude the conversation. Let's turn to Conservative MP, Shadow Defence Minister, and a veteran himself having served in the TA, Marc Francois, who joins me now. OK, I tried to put my point. You heard the counterpoint. What is the reality as you see it, Mr. Francois? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for having me on. Look, I know Ian Murray. He's basically a good bloke, but he was defending the indefensible. The legal position is... people challenged the Legacy Act, said it was incompatible with the Human Rights Act, and of course Republican Sinn Féin were behind that. The then Conservative government opposed that. It was found incompatible in the lower courts in Northern Ireland. That we appealed to the Supreme Court for a definitive decision. Then we had a general election. Then Labour came in. They dropped the appeal. So the Supreme Court has never ruled on this one way or another. There is a private case taken up by the veterans, assisted by the Shadow Attorney General, David Wolfson. He appeared for them pro bono in court. We're waiting for the Supreme Court ruling. And we argued in the Commons last night they shouldn't vote on the remedial order until we'd heard from the Supreme Court. But Labour rammed it through anyway. I'm sad to say with Lib Dem support. The good news is the remedial order does not come into legal effect until the day after it is passed by both houses. So it now goes to the House of Lords, where Labour do not have a majority. And there are a number of, you know, retired senior military peers who really understand this issue. So we may have lost a battle in the Commons yesterday, though we went down fighting, but we have not lost the war. And what we are trying to do, in a nutshell, is to defend those who defended us. That is our aim. We hope the government's had 13 U-turns. This can be the 14th.
Well, and can you just underscore the fact, because some of my listeners are saying that I'm trying to defend the indefensible, because in some cases, some of these soldiers could have committed murder. I want to quote a former commander of the SAS who says, where a soldier has done wrong, they must be held to account. But some of this is simply unjust. Again, as a veteran, would you subscribe to that?
Correct. The problem is it's two-tier justice. As your listeners will know, most hundreds of IRA paramilitaries after the Good Friday Agreement were given so-called letters of comfort by Tony Blair. Our soldiers have no letters of comfort. They don't have a note in their pocket to protect them. Now, look, what happened last night, Nick? I know we're always tight for time on interviews, so...
Go ahead.
OK, it went through last night by 387 to 106. But the tale of the tape is not who voted, it's who didn't. There was a silent Labour rebellion last night. Over 100 Labour MPs abstained. Now, many of these veterans were recruited in the 70s and the 80s from what we would now call Red Wall seats, the Burnleys and the Boltons, the Blackpools,
yeah?
A lot of Labour MPs know this, couldn't look their veteran community in the eye, and abstained. Starmer abstained on his own motion. John Healey, the Defence Secretary, abstained on the government's motion. Al Carnes, the Armed Forces Minister, abstained on the motion. So, incidentally, did Nigel Farage and Robert Jenrick. But the key thing here is there is a war going on behind the scenes between the MOD, who are opposed to this, and the Northern Ireland Office, led by Hilary Benn, who are mad keen for it. And the reason they're doing it is because they've done a sordid backstairs deal with the Irish government. It's all about the EU reset, and our veterans are pawns in a game. There's only one word for that. It is disgusting.
Well, I'd choose the word betrayal. Final word from you on another matter. I know you are geographically, and I believe rather politically close to Andrew Rosendale, who, of course, has defected to the other side. What's your reaction? Do you miss him?
It's difficult, Nick, if I'm honest, because Andrew and I have known, we knew each other in student politics, so we've known each other for literally 40 years. He's one of, you know, and we were both great friends of Sir David Amess, who I still miss, and I know Andrew does. So sometimes in politics these things happen, and they're very, very difficult to deal with. I don't approve of what Andrew has done, but he's always been an honourable man, so he should now put himself before the electors of Romford. He should call a by-election to see if they approve of what he's done, as indeed should Robert Jenrick, who I saw being heckled at a rally by his own constituents in Newark just the other night. So Robert Jenrick and Andrew Rossendale, both men I've known for some years, Andrew for 40 years, they should stand down and fight by-elections to see if their electors, who employ them, agree with the decision that they have made.
Grateful for your time, Mark. Conservative MP, Shadow Defence Minister, Mark Francois, over to you now for the idea that I think this is a betrayal of our veterans. Tom, you'll be the first caller. Let me just, I've just got time to read one of these. Ian, I'm glad you cut off Ian Murray, the Minister. That man's a clown. I spent 4 years on the streets of Northern Ireland during the Troubles. Those idiots in suits have zero idea what it was like. It was called Planet Ulster for a reason. Ian, I cannot imagine what you, well, I can imagine, I cannot and countenance what you know, the fear and the bravery that you had to display on the streets. I only went and reported from there, and that was dodgy enough at times, but they weren't throwing bricks and petrol bombs at us at all. We'll come back to that conversation. It would seem that all military protection, all protection of our military stripped away. 9:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, here on LBC. News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has dropped his threat of tariffs for NATO allies opposing his ambition to take over Greenland. He says he's agreed a framework of a future deal for security in the Arctic region. The Foreign Secretary says the UK will not sign Donald Trump's so-called Border Peace Treaty. Yvette Cooper says it's because there's concerns about the prospect of Vladimir Putin being involved in the project. And an LBC investigation has found Grok can provide instruction on how to make chemical weapons. It's emerged Elon Musk's AI chatbot can be prompted to tell users how to make banned substances. LBC weather cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many today. Some heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees.
This is LBC.
Okay, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life?
We're doing pretty muddy.
It's an obstacle course.
There's one for kids.
Runners.
Walkers.
Book clubbers.
Knit clubbers.
Tenpin bowlers.
Choir singers.
Lake swimmers.
Gardeners.
Whether you climb it.
Slide it.
Or crawl it.
Go all in against cancer.
All in to help fund life-saving research.
Sign up now.
And save 30% off entry to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event. Search Race for Life. Discount ends January 31st, 2026. T's and C's apply.
Big motoring world are big on choice. But what does that mean for you? Well, we have thousands of cars in stock. So let's say you want a Mini, an electric one, in black, with a panoramic roof, Apple CarPlay, heated leather seats, rear view camera. Yep, there it is. Being big means we're more likely to have the right car for you. Big Motoring World, we're big on choice. See website for nearest store.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Train to Cambridge and then all aboard the paddleboards. A little bit different, should be fun. Or wobbly, or wet.
The wetsuit's a good look on you, Steve.
Actually, this is very relaxed.
George is up the river can without a paddle.
Train home, that was such a laugh. I think I might even have a new hobby. Download the Thames Link Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thames Link Railway, where every stop is a story.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's talk veterans. Tom is in Yarm in Yorkshire. Tom, your take on what you heard. I'm not buying the government line on this one. What say you? Good morning.
Well, good morning, Nick. We've spoken before and not long ago as well. What I said to your researcher was more or less everything that the shadow minister just said. I'd like to put my weight behind this Labour government just piling up to the ECR. They're frying to death to say anything against it. They are led by lawyers, aren't they?
Absolutely.
They really are led by lawyers.
Every single decision.
Yes. I mean, I did 25 years in Northern Ireland.
Oh, my God.
My first tour in 1970, my last tour in 1995.
Right.
I was wounded in 1971 by an IED, badly wounded, I'd say.
Right. Could you mind if I ask what the extent of your wounds were?
I had both legs were broken. I had a shattered right ankle, 120 stitches up my thigh.
120 wounds. Stitches? Lord.
Yes, it opened, completely opened. Lost half my left calf. God. And still went on to soldier for 31 years.
Good grief. Right.
You know, so I saw what right from the beginning, 1970, on the Falls Road, Caulfield, curfew, right till the peace talks in 1995. On the ceasefire tour. So I saw it right through, and I saw the murderers of the IRA, the INLA, you name it, I saw it. You know, and we walked the walk. Those young lads, myself at 18, and the young lads at 18 years old, who were walking through the streets of Belfast, Londonderry, South Armagh, as targets, but to keep the peace
I know.
And patrol the streets.
Well, just carrying out your orders.
These Labour MPs have just stabbed them in the back. But wait till the next election, because quite honestly, there'll be 2 million veterans and serving soldiers that will not vote for them.
Do you talk with many of the men who served, you served with in that?
Certainly, role? I go to monthly meetings for my regiment. I have got coffee mornings.
What are they saying? What are they saying about all of this then, Tom?
Exactly the same as I'm saying.
Are they?
Mm. You know, they're being stabbed in the back by this Labour government.
So, as a journalist, I can use a word like betrayal, but I'm just a journalist with nothing like the bravery you and your colleagues have. Do you see it as a betrayal?
Absolute betrayal. I mean, they're expecting. You know, in these troubled times that we're in at the moment, they will be recruiting. They'll be wanting young lads to join the Army and the Navy and the Air Force. They're going to find it very, very difficult.
Can I ask you to respond to this? Tom, I'm almost embarrassed to read these to you, but I will give you a taste of what I'm getting. Ian says, murder is murder. You're constructing a situation where the soldier's under threat. That might not always have been the case. John says, how on earth can you, as ever, leap to the defence of our veterans when they could have been involved in murder? What don't you know? Tom, how would you respond? And I've got so many messages. How would you respond to messages such as that?
How can they actually say that when
they haven't got the bravery to do what you and your mates did? But go on, Tom.
Exactly. You know, I mean, how can they call soldiers murderers when they're returning fire and when they are being ambushed and shot in the back, blown up in the beds in bases by mortars? It's way beyond me.
They are the minority. The majority of this country are so grateful for what you did. You might not have supported it. You probably didn't support everything as a soldier you were asked or rather ordered to do. But you're a military bloke and you were serving your queen just as they serve their king and country now. I'm grateful for your service, as most of my callers will be, I assure you. Tom, thank you. We'll take more calls on that. It is a betrayal. Remember, we're playing Deal or No Deal. Has President Trump pulled off a deal, particularly for his American base? Or is it absolutely no deal anywhere on the planet? Taff in Cardiff, thank you for holding, sir. I do appreciate it. Taff, which way are you calling it? Deal or no deal?
I think it's both, depending on what side of the fence that you
I wasn't
sit.
Expecting that. Go on then.
Well, I must admit, when I heard you this morning saying about this $1 million for everybody who lives in Greenland, burst out laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
The first thing that popped into my head was, I wonder what, taking inflation into consideration, 30 pieces of silver is worth now from 2,000 years ago. But to be honest, I think that I've been thinking for a few days now, the whole Greenland thing, the world is talking about it. It seems to me that it could well be a complete smokescreen because everyone's stopped talking about the Epstein files all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Can I just tell you, you're right, by the way, $1 million, but extraordinarily, one newspaper has done the sums, the Daily Mail. There are 57,000 inhabitants of Greenland, which is of huge strategic importance. It would hit £42.5 billion. Now that, Taff, is a heck of a lot of money, but guess what? Each year, the US spends £595 billion. It's not even 10%. Of their defence budget to, quotes, buy Greenland.
It's crazy. I mean, I have a feeling that the Greenlanders wouldn't take it. Mm. I mean, I'm sure every Greenlander would love to have $1 million in their bank account, but you have to sell your soul to get it.
We spoke to one, and the young man is not for turning. He is not taking $1 million. Taff, thank you for holding on the line. Have yourself a good one. The Epstein files, of course, not suggesting in any way any illegal behaviour by the president or anyone else involved in the high level of his administration, but it's a point he's made. Let's come to matters and financial matters back here. Rachel Reeves saying that she will announce support for pubs hit by soaring business rates, but indicated she would not extend relief to hotels, restaurants and cafes. Well, again, I come to that conversation with the minister on the round, the culture minister, Labour MP Ian Murray. How come pubs are getting some cash, but it's off the menu elsewhere?
The Chancellor said it yesterday that pubs are different.
Yes, I know pubs, but why not cafes or restaurants? What's the difference?
Well, we know that the hospitality sectors have struggled in recent years, particularly as a result of the pandemic and post-pandemic. They are getting a £4.3 billion support package through the business rates. The business rates have changed, obviously, because the big reliefs that were in for COVID have now come to an end. The Chancellor committed to looking at the pubs issue, and you're right to say that the Treasury will come forward in the next, in the coming days with a package and some results of that that consultation.
Well, let's bring a restaurateur into the conversation. Sam Harrison owns Sam's Riverside, a modern British restaurant in Hammersmith. He has other restaurants as well we might ask him about. And the minister is saying that you had some post-COVID cash and the government has helped you out. What's the reality? You're putting out the dishes, you're employing the staff, you're serving the meals. What's the truth? Morning, Sam.
Morning, Nick. Thank you for having me on. Listen, when we're looking at business rates, I think it's really important to look at it in the whole. And hospitality at the moment, it's a sort of perfect storm of pressures that are built up on us simultaneously. I mean, most of hospitality is still recovering from COVID. Much of hospitality still has a lot of debt linked to COVID. You know, and then our VAT remains one of the highest of all European countries. Huge increase in energy costs, food and drink. Everything that we now buy will pretty much cost us more. Then national living wage, national insurance. So all of this is hitting the industry at the same time. And then on top of that, the business rates. I just think the government has to look at this from a different point. And I think it's great that they're looking at pubs. Pubs need help, but so does hospitality, and so does the likes of my independent restaurants and cafes. Otherwise, the high street is going to be decimated.
Give us an idea how important you are, your sector, it's not you personally, to the field of employment. We learnt that we've lost 200,000 jobs since the last government came to power.
Well, we've got five sites across West London, Hammersmith, Chiswick and Brentford. And, we employ 130 people.
Do you? Wow.
And I think it often gets forgotten that hospitality is the biggest employer when it comes to, one industry. And the other thing about hospitality is for many people, it offers a first job and it gets flexible working, which can be so important for many people for different reasons. I think if we can continue the way we are, we're only going to see more closures and less employment.
And the hospitality sector, as you're right, say massive employer, also makes a lot of money in revenue. I mean, I don't quite understand how the government can say that the pubs are in for some help, but you and hoteliers aren't. It's, to me, Sam, nuts.
Listen, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I have lots of friends with pubs, some who the current situation with the business rates would force them to close. And they need help. And we all know that pubs, particularly maybe rural pubs, are often, the core of a village, the community, yep. The hub. But restaurants like mine play the same role. And, the business rates, the new calculations, percentage-wise, pubs have had the biggest increase. But restaurants have had a huge increase as well. We all need help. We all need support.
Lastly, do you want to name your restaurants and cafes? We know about Sam's. What are the others? Sam.
You're very kind, Nick. I like to put my name at the top. They're all called Sam's.
Oh, they're all Sam's?
I'm afraid so. But we have Sam's Waterside in Brentford, which is on the water there. We have a little cafe in Hammersmith called Sam's Kitchen.
Right.
And we also have, born out of COVID, we opened a delicatessen food shop in Hammersmith called Sam's Larder. So,
okay, all right.
There's a theme there, you can see it.
Okay. If you could come to Twickenham and open Sam's Drop Goal or something like that, I might be able to help you out a little bit. I just need to come a little bit further west, Sam, and we'll see what we can do to help out. And I'm quite a luncher.
Keep an eye out for a site. We're coming.
You got it. I'll look out for it. Good luck with all the Sam restaurants and bars. Sam's Riverside's owner, Sam Harrison, and all the Sam's in town talking to me there. If you are a restaurateur, cafe owner, hotelier, what is the reality as you see it? Coming up after the news, we'll go back to what I think was a very dark day, even a betrayal of our British armed forces. We'll have more calls on that from the vote last night. It's 9:45. LBC News headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
President Trump has dropped his threat of tariffs for NATO allies, opposing his ambition to take over Greenland. The Foreign Secretary says the UK won't sign Donald Trump's so-called Board of Peace Treaty. And the House of Lords has backed a cross-party move to ban social media for under-16s. LBC weather cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland. A high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays on the M1 southbound to Junction 9 at Redbourne from 11A at Dunstable. It's because of a police investigation that had to take place earlier. It's now finished. All the lanes are open, but it's still very slow. Also on the M25, there are delays anti-clockwise from the M1 to Junction 19 at Watford after a car broke down earlier, and still very slow clockwise at Junction 11 at Chertsey after an accident much earlier on. The A13 remains very busy westbound, heading towards the Lakeside turnoff after that lorry broke down earlier. But all the lanes are now back open. There are problems on the trains. Thames Link can't run between London Bridge and Dartford. Then there are delays and cancellations between St Pancras and Bedford.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Easier said than done, isn't it? Standing up to a bully will always make them back down because at heart they're cowards, but it's worked this time. And the social media ban, will we have time to talk about it today?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco car insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco car insurance.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
There's so much more to enjoy when you fly in Emirates Economy. Spacious legroom, delicious regionally inspired meals, complimentary drinks, and with the latest movies, TV shows, music and live sport, some of the best entertainment in the skies. And our family services make your journey simple and fun. Plan your next trip and start the holiday early in Emirates Economy. Fly Emirates, fly better.
On a windswept walk in Carmarthen, while someone tries to use your card details to hire a speedboat in Cannes. This is the moment you relax, knowing that Barclays Advanced Tech has helped to spot the fraud in under a second, and their expert team are on hand to close it down. So you can get back to being windswept. Ooh. Just one of the ways we're protecting our customers 24/7. Search Barclays Fraud Protection. Barclays. Make money work for you.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and beautiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Beautiful gut health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Beautiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
Wellness. What even is wellness? Cleanses, routines, regimes, biohacks, stacks, schedules, procedures, programs. I suppose so. But can it just be a cup of...
Pukka Herbal Tea. Ah, Pukka. Nothing beats nature.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I saved time by not ringing the GP practice.
When?
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
So we're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Gavroche and John coming to you to talk about veterans in a moment. Just want to read this from Martin in Cornwall. We have a cafe and a greengrocer's in Cornwall and the costs have soared. It's very seasonal. 3 to 4 months a year really are dead, and if the weather's bad, even some days we'll take £50 in the cafe if we're lucky. That's take 50, okay? Not make 50. Our rates multipliers come down a little, but the revalue means we pay an extra £3,000 a year on one shop. Next year it's likely to be around £5,000 a year, and we can't afford it. Food and energy are so expensive. My supplier this week wanted to raise my daily standing charge to £2.10 a day, double the kilowatt price. Along with the employment changes and national insurance, we're going to sell or shut the cafe this year. Martin, you don't say how many staff you employ. By the way, I'm not being a confrontation. You don't say how many staff you employ, and that probably will be the end of those jobs. So there we go. And you wonder why we've got 220,000 jobs gone since Labour came to power. Labour putting all these people out of work. Now, let's talk about veterans, that vote last night. Garoj is in Derry. Your take on it, Garoj. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's a dark, dismal, sort of depressing morning in Derry here. And I find, yeah, and I find your leading of this conversation as depressing, if not more.
Oh,
I don't see
why.
How, yeah, you speak about the betrayal of your troops.
Mm-hmm. And
in Derry, we're coming up to the anniversary where 13 innocent civilians were murdered by your troops.
Right.
And no one has been held to account. Are you saying that no one should be held to account for those
murders?
I'm
not familiar with all the circumstances, but I would be at pains to say that, as I discussed with the Shadow Forces Minister, every military person says where there have been crimes committed, they must be prosecuted. Of course they must. I'm not defending it any other way.
So you believe that British troops should be prosecuted?
If they've committed murder, of course.
How do you find out if they committed murder?
Because in many instances, you must be aware, Garoj, men in their 80s are being dragged back into
courts.
Let me finish, respectfully. Men are being dragged back into the courts in their 80s to answer charges for which they've already been cleared. In some instances, twice.
Hold on. Number one, no one is being dragged into court.
Well,
okay.
Right.
People are being
court.
Prosecuted.
Taken
yes,
to court.
Yes, prosecuted in the same manner as everyone else should be.
Because if you look at the peace accord, there were letters of comfort provided, of course, that not, one could argue, been provided for the other side, Garoj.
Letters of comfort. What do those letters of comfort mean? I don't think you understand this, Nick, with respect. Those letters of comfort lay out that there is no case against anyone. If it comes to light that may be more evidence that someone has done wrong, those letters of comfort are meaningless.
All right, stay on the line. Someone's calling in who I'm certainly going to defer knows more than I. John in Twickenham. I've got to know, you actually served in Northern Ireland. Is that correct?
That's correct, Nick, yes.
What would you say to my other caller, Garoj, and his assertions?
I would say that in the early days particularly, there were mistakes made on behalf of the military. The training in the 70s wasn't as good. When I deployed in the 80s, the training package was extensive, building on from the mistakes that had been made in the 70s. I all the times I served, when you were chatting in the locker room before you deployed, the chat was about football, what was on TV, and getting home safe that night. Mm-hmm. The chat wasn't, who are we going to go out and try and shoot today? Mm-hmm. That conversation never took place. On the flip side, when Inla and Pyra went out, they went out having discussed who they were going to kill that day. That's totally different sides.
Let's bring my other caller in so that you can have a conversation. Garoj.
Yeah, no, thanks for that. I take it it's John, the other
John,
caller?
John is the other chap, sir. Good morning, John.
I take it you're referring to, you said mistakes. I take it those are murders, yeah?
You can make a mistake where it's up to a court to decide whether that is a murder or not.
Yeah. How many British soldiers have been taken to court for their mistakes?
That's something that I need to know. That's a little bit of photo. If I can ask you to ask the broader point there, because I don't think you can expect John to have an encyclopedic knowledge of every soldier who's ever served in Northern Ireland.
No, hold on, Nick. John has spoken there about people in the knocker room not talking about going out and who they're going to kill or who they're going to make a mistake. But he can't speak for every British soldier, going by your reasoning.
No, but he can speak about his own personal experience.
yes, okay, his experience. So it's not an encyclopedic experience of the British Army and their role in Ireland.
He's not pretending that it is, and respectfully, yours isn't encyclopedia knowledge of everyone in Northern Ireland either, is it?
No, it's not, but it's my experience.
So let's get John back. John.
Yeah, can I just say, I accept his point. I wasn't a party to all conversations in every unit on every deployment, but what I can 100% state is that when the other side went out, they had definitely had that discussion, and that was their intent every time they went out.
Now, Garrosh, I'm not putting you quotes on the other side, but your interpretation of the sentiment that he's expressing there, Garrosh.
What sentiment?
Well, on the other, and I'm not suggesting you remember that for one second, but the people that John had to engage and his colleagues had to engage with, they went out with murder in their hearts and the bombing of innocent soldiers and innocent citizens as well, innocent civilians, I should say. That's not what the blokes that John was serving with went out.
Yeah, and that's not what the vote last night was about.
Well, respectfully, it in part it is, isn't it?
In part, yes, but if you look at, you've led this discussion about the betrayal of your soldiers.
Yes, well, I put it to a former vet.
The betrayal.
Yes,
the betrayal,
and he agreed. Yes, I see, yes, I'm happy to say that word again.
Yes, is taking those suspected of murders and wrongdoing, taking them to a court of law where they can be judged.
Right.
What's wrong with that? Surely in any civilized society...
But John's not arguing, and I've got a number, the number you requested or required was 6, so one of my colleagues was right. John, you're not arguing, where a soldier or an airman or anybody has done wrong, they need to be charged and taken to court, don't they, John?
Absolutely, in a court of law, but if they're now lowering the bar that the criteria now is that for civil cases, then you're going to see a barrage of civil cases coming. And at the end of the day, isn't this about rebuilding society and the community and bringing people together? But all we seem to be doing is picking at scabs.
Garrosh, how healthy are what could be the result? I appreciate it has to go back to the Lords, but what could be the repercussions of last night's vote? How healthy is that, Garrosh? You living there?
I think it's very healthy, because in the case of justice for those innocent civilians in the north of Ireland whose family members were murdered by the British Army, that they can see now a possible recourse to justice.
And how confident are you, lastly, that some of these men and some of the witnesses can recall events 40, 50 years on?
Well, let's see.
Let's see. I mean... Okay, let's ask John, how fair is it that we're going to ask people sometimes in their 80s to recall events from 50 years ago?
I think it's totally illogical. And just can I pick up on something Garrosh said about the people in Northern Ireland? I actually lived in Northern Ireland for 22 years.
Right.
And it was about in my fourth or fifth year before you really get a feel of society and the feeling there. So rather than just speaking as a veteran, I'm also speaking of a member of the community there, and I saw how divided the communities were. And even though we have a peace process, those divisions still run deep. You scratch the surface, and people will not be moved from their view, i.e. it was all the fault of the British state, i.e. it was all the fault of Pirish Sinn Féin. I think, just my last point, please.
Well, in a sentence,
I think a lot of this is about Sinn Féin trying to rewrite history because they were massively infiltrated.
All right, I have to end it there. My thanks to Garrosh, my thanks to John. This is a story that is not going to go away. I sense we'll be talking about it again. Thanks to both of you for your input. That's it for today. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. You can read and watch the latest from LBC. Put your news categories in the order that you want. Pause and rewind live radio and listen to podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. What's not to like? I'm done. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and the question is, when is a deal not a deal? When it's a framework lied about by a man rendered even more ridiculous than usual by the belated discovery of some backbone by various other international leaders, including Sir Keir Starmer, but most obviously, of course, Mark Carney, a man who many of the people riding high in this country politically chose to completely ignore when he explained what the consequences of Brexit would be. So, as the great chicken makes his way back to Washington, D.C., what have we actually learned? What have we actually discovered? And I don't suppose there's a chance, is there, that there is actually a deal here? It just goes to a different school?
On your radio, on the LBC app and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the UK has opted not to take part in a signing ceremony in Davos later for Donald Trump's so-called Board of Peace. The Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper says it's because of concerns about Vladimir Putin's possible involvement. The Kremlin says the Russian president is considering the invitation to join the panel. Ms. Cooper says she's sceptical about Moscow's agenda.
Is Putin serious about peace? Because I haven't yet seen any signs that he is. That is what we need to see. I still think we're going to need more pressure on Russia to bring them to the table. Really, Putin needs to now show he is ready for peace.
The US Special Envoy Steve Witkoff is due to travel to Moscow for talks on ending the war with Ukraine, while Donald Trump's expected to meet Ukraine's leader Vladimir Zelensky at Davos this afternoon. Sir Keir Starmer has welcomed Donald Trump's decision to drop the threat of tariffs over the future of Greenland. The Prime Minister says allies can now find a way forward on Arctic security after a framework was agreed. An investigation by LBC's found the AI chatbot Grok can provide instructions on how to make chemical weapons. The government says it's in direct talks with X to take immediate action to remove the content. Chemical weapons expert Lenny Phillips has told LBC it's very concerning.
What the information from Grok does is take away the mystery of lab work and opens the possibility to those who previously believed they would need access to specific facilities, equipment or chemicals. There is additionally information as to what catches people out, such as quantities of chemicals produced, self-poisoning and smells that could easily be picked up by neighbours.
X has yet to respond to LBC for a request for comment. Pressure's increasing on the government to ban social media for under-16s. The House of Lords has now backed an amendment calling for the measure, and it'll now go to the Commons. Ministers have begun a three-month consultation on a potential ban. And teaching unions are calling for more guidance to help parents to make sure their children are ready to start school. The surveys found more than a quarter of young people are not able to use books correctly when they start primary. The government says it inherited a system where disadvantage was allowed to deepen, but is determined to tackle it. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 72 at 10,070. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many today. Some heavy rain for the northeast of Scotland, a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hey Sainsbury's, any way you can save me a few quid on my weekly shop?
Well, Jane, try Your Nectar Prices. Every week in Your Nectar app, you can unlock up to 10 personalised discounts on things you love at Sainsbury's. A Janesbury's, if you will.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Get personalised discounts with Your Nectar Prices. That's good food for all of us. Janesbury's. I mean Sainsbury's. 18 plus Nectar app required. Unlock up to 10 Your Nectar Prices weekly. Available in supermarkets, online and in locals with Smart Shop. TNCs apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 10 is the time, and we find ourselves once again circling the toilet bowl of the post-World Order in the company of the Mango Mussolini. Yesterday's speech to Davos, to the World Economic Forum in Davos, was a masterclass in idiocy and possibly encroaching dementia. If Joe Biden had got Greenland mixed up with Iceland several times, it would probably be on the front page of the Daily Mail. It would certainly be on front pages of American newspapers, as yet more evidence of his clear cognitive decline. But the thing about Donald Trump that's really hard to actually articulate is that because the ridiculousness and the horror go hand in hand, and crucially, this is the really crucial bit, and I know you probably already know it, but sometimes it's helpful to hear someone else put it into words, because there is so much of it, it loses all impact and it loses all importance. There's so many individual instances of the unconscionable. But when they are following so fast upon each other that you literally can't keep count, then they cease to resonate in the way that they would do in isolation. Think about all the individual instances of moral depravity or political corruption that we have seen. Had they occurred under any other presidency, they would have occurred individually and in isolation, and they would have been, at the very least, impeachable and quite possibly career-ending. certainly electoral hopes would have been dashed at the first mention of many of the things that Trump mentions millions of times. This is a really important thing. Isn't it amazing that we can still stumble into some territory that feels vaguely fresh? Or are we just repackaging previous observations in new words? Are we saying all the right words, but not necessarily in the right order? That double combination. So the horror and the hilarity go hand in hand. I think the horror gets diluted by the ridiculousness. He announces something truly gross, but then he does something accidentally. This is the great the great irony of the situation, is that the stuff that dilutes the horror is the stuff that he does by accident. The best example is probably they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs. Which simultaneously a horrific lie worthy of the Nazis, and we'll get on to some behaviour by ICE later in the programme that is absolutely worthy of the Nazis. And it pains me enormously to tell you that I've found a way of showing you that Anne Frank pointed out that what ICE are doing now is very much of a piece with what the Nazis were doing when she was hiding in that attic in Amsterdam. But the way that it goes hand in hand with ridiculousness. So you shiver and laugh at the same time. But there is so much of it that you can't get a handle on it. It's like trying to climb 10 mountains at once with the same crampons. It's like trying to herd cats. It's like trying to nail jelly or jello for my American listeners. It's like trying to nail jello to the wall, nail jelly to the wall. You can't do it. Today, not only is he supposed to be holding a signing ceremony for his ridiculous Board of Peace, ridiculous, but Vladimir Putin is potentially one of the signatories. Horrific. Vladimir Putin will sign only if he can get the $1 billion that he has to give to Donald Trump from assets that have been frozen as a consequence of his illegal invasion of Ukraine. Horrific. Donald Trump has also invited Benjamin Netanyahu to join his Board of Peace, a man facing ever-growing accusations and allegations of masterminding an actual genocide. Horrific. And Donald Trump wants to stay in charge of this ludicrous confection even after he ceases to be president. Horrific. But yesterday he was talking about Greenland and he kept calling it Iceland. Hilarious. Where do you put your attention? Where do you go with your focus? Where do you lead with your analysis? Tempting, of course, to do what we would have done had it been Joe Biden and focus upon the clear cognitive decline, the absurdity. But then probably we should be talking about the cowardly climb down. The fact that, you know, he has absolutely bottled all of the things that he was adamant he would be doing just 10 minutes ago. Should we be focusing on that? The cowardice, the climb down, the chicken. The taco. What does taco stand for? Trump always chickens out. Taco Trump. Should we be focusing on that? No, because then we'd be ignoring the Board of Peace. So we'll focus on the Board of Peace. Board of Peace. Crikey. Oh, no, hang on. We can't focus on the Board of Peace because, well, we've got to talk about the fact that he's talking about annexing a country that he can't even remember the name of while boasting about receiving a Nobel Prize from a woman that he can't even remember the name of. I listen to the Iceland thing, just in case you think that I am exaggerating. Just for illustration, because I know I couldn't find a better way of putting it, but in normal times, what do you want to call it? In normal times, I believe the Board of Peace is being unveiled as we speak. Stand by for finding out who's on it, which people of genocide apologists, war criminals. I'm